Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It's Wednesday, January 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the lines at Philadelphia International Airport are still moving. The furloughed TSA workers are still showing up to work. Due to the ongoing government shutdown, TSA employees missed a paycheck on Saturday. Some workers are relying on the kindness of others as they wait for their pay to come in, to finally come in. TSA Union President Joe Shucker said Catholic Social Services sent a pallet of food Wednesday for workers to go through and take home with them what they need. Phil Abundance brought in a truck full of food to distribute to TSA employees who need the extra help. They said the truck will be parked outside the airport where the workers head in every day to work without pay.
Okay, so are they eventually going to get paid for these hours?
Yes. Okay. If you're furloughed, I think you get back pay.
You do. Yeah.
TSA agents are essential government workers, and with the partial government shutdown entering its 26th day on Wednesday, the union that represents the furloughed employees is working to make sure that they can sustain their commitment to keeping air travel safe. According to the federal agency, unscheduled employee callouts more than doubled on Monday compared to the same time last year, from 2.5% to 6.8%. Now, in Atlanta, Houston, and Washington, shortages are causing major backups. Why is it causing major backups in other cities? Is it just because those employees are not coming to work?
That's a good question. I don't know why it's affecting other cities worse than
here.
Than different ones, yeah.
And they keep saying, for now. And the, I think the union president said, I think we're going to reach a point where they're going to stop coming to work.
As I know, Atlanta's having a real problem right now. That's a big hub. So.
And there's sick outs taking place. I know some of them are doing that. Yet San Francisco apparently is reporting great times. Yeah, so I don't know. Who knows?
Well, is Philly right now.
Listen, I understand the sick out, but I also don't understand the sick out because you're not getting paid at all now, right?
Yeah, you won't get paid.
They can take their sick
days.
That's
true,
Day. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's a paid sick day. Okay.
Yeah, but so the TSA president here in Philadelphia said that eventually they're not going to have means, is what he's saying. If they stop showing up, he's thinking they're not going to have means to get to work if people aren't getting their paycheck, which is why these Philabundance and Catholic Social Services came in and brought them food so they don't have to, you know, spend whatever money they have left buying food. They can take some from these trucks. So Philabundance has a truck parked outside of, I guess, the employee entrance at the airport. And the TSA workers can grab food to take home with them. A businessman who built a fortune buying and selling factories and became one of Philadelphia region's greatest philanthropists has died. Raymond Perlman was 101 years old. Perlman's son, Ronald Perlman, says that in a statement that his father died on Monday night. Perlman attended the University of Pennsylvania before beginning his career that would launch his world-renowned legacy. In 2011, Perlman donated $225 million to the University of Pennsylvania Medical School, which was renamed the Raymond and Ruth Perlman School of Medicine.
I've been there many times.
And the Perlman Center.
It's an incredible facility.
Penn says the money sped up research, increased student aid, and helped recruit faculty members. Other gifts, listen to this. Okay, so not only does he have, you know, the Perlman Center for University of Penn, but the other gifts include $50 million to what is now the Philadelphia Museum of Art's Ruth and Raymond G. Perlman Building, $6 million to the Center for Jewish Life at Drexel University, $5 million to the Raymond G. Perlman Plaza at Drexel, and $5 million to the Perlman Theater at the Kimmel Center for Performing Arts.
Yeah, I remember seeing an article on him and his wife a few years ago, and they were at the Kimmel Center for an event, and they started listing that stuff, and I'm like, my God. There are these insanely filthy rich people around. Yeah. And fortunately, some of them send that money out and do some really good and important things.
Extract everything they've contributed to Philadelphia. You know, what a major loss it would be, you know, thanks to their generosity. The quality of life has been improved for many in the area. If you want to leave a long-lasting legacy, he certainly did.
Yeah, for sure. But he was 101 years old. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
A generous person living long. That's okay.
Hell of life.
Yeah.
Business owners in Delaware County should be on the lookout for people paying with fake cash. The police department and media released photos of the bogus $100 bills. The media... The Media Borough Police Department has received several reports of the passing the counterfeit $100 bills. The bills being circulated have identical serial numbers, so they're saying that's how you can identify them.
They're and on the bill, the it says $100.
Yeah. $100. The quality of the bills is very good and will pass a counterfeit marker detectors. Wow, that marker that they use.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You knew that was coming.
Well, they can listen. They can eventually they figure out how to do it. It just figure how many end up in circulation is the issue.
Right. Know? Police are urging merchants to compare the serial numbers because they are all the same. If you suspect that you've been conned, police advise that you check that serial number on the cash and then you call police right away. In sports this morning. The Sixers beat the Minnesota Timberwolves by more than 40 points with a final score of 149 to 107 last night at the center. Jimmy Butler scored 19 points in the first meeting with his former team since the trade, and the Sixers scored 83 points in the first half. They hit a team record 21 three-pointers and reached their highest point total in the 22-year history of the Wells Fargo Center. Joel Embiid added 31 points and 13 rebounds in the win. The Sixers are on the road tomorrow night with a game in Indiana against the Pacers, and tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers will look to build on their impressive win over the Minnesota Wild when they host the Boston Bruins tonight. Despite the win on Monday, the Flyers are still in last place in the Metro Division, while the Bruins are in third place in the Atlantic Division. The game will be nationally televised on NBCSN. The puck drops in South Philly at 7:30. Less than 24 hours after tearing his right Achilles tendon in New Orleans, Eagles Pro Bowl right guard Brandon Brooks told reporters that his recovery time is expected to be 6 to 8 months. Once he has surgery and is out of the walking boot in 6 to 7 weeks, he plans on beginning his rehab immediately. He said he didn't know how bad the injury was until he was on the cart leaving the field and realized that his toes on his right foot were a little bit further back than those on the left foot. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a bunch, Kathy. Midweek is where we have landed. A few things we like to do on Wednesdays include a secret text word, and we have a chance for you to win a $50 Best Buy gift card today, so why not give it a try? Text word secret 39333, and we'll send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in. Designated caller wins that $50 Best Buy gift card, and we will also pick someone randomly, and you can head to Best Buy Northeast Philly's open house event Saturday from 11 to 3 p.m. Tech and home appliances, exclusive offers, and all kinds of good stuff, and a chance to win some incredible prizes. So that's going on. Also, Wednesday ritual, we will check in with Fox Good Day today as we get close to 8 a.m. And around that time as well, we're going to reveal what today's special keyword is for the Go Fund Yourself contest that we have.
So much money being given away.
There's $1,000 five times a day, every day, Monday through Friday, and then a $10,000 grand prize when the whole thing is wrapped up. And every time you try, you get yourself registered for that 10 grand grand prize. Now, we also have another contest we're going to do today from the Philly Pops. And I love Mashup Madness. It's such a great game. We take a couple of songs that have been mixed together. You have to identify them. But we're doing the 80s edition because the Philly Pops are doing the 80s, Friday, February 1st. So they're going to be doing a bunch of songs. George Michael, Huey Lewis, Blondie, Cyndi Lauper, Michael Jackson, and more. You can get tickets at phillypops.org. So we will be doing that contest as well. So a bunch of different ways for you to win some things this morning.
Love it.
I need a coffee IV
today. Do you? Yeah. You're hurting?
It's Wednesday, man. Wednesday.
You
wiped my ass out, and I'm tired.
Were you? So we had the couple of days back, from the vacation, and I think we did okay. But for some reason, I feel a little more tired this week, and I don't know why.
Yeah,
who the hell knows? Yeah. Ah, hell.
Colder weather, I don't really know. So anyway, if you're in that club, we're with you. We're all together. We shall move forward as one. Let's take a quick break. Return in just a little bit. Stupid question with giveaways. Lots of entertainment stuff to run by you to begin the day, as we always do. We'll be back momentarily.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to give something away for the stupid question this morning. We have a four-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Auto Show. It's back February 2nd through the 10th. And the question, this is, you're going to have to look this up.
All right.
But it's interesting.
Do we believe the answer is correct?
It is. It's right. Definitely correct. So who invented Candyland?
Who invented the game Candyland?
Wow. Yeah.
I loved that game as a kid.
I did too. You talk about the company or the actual person?
Nope, the person.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. There's one person invented the game Candyland in 1949. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Yeah, I used to love that game too, Kathy.
That was the first board game that I hated. No, that was the first board game. I didn't hate. It's my level. It's sub-moron level, so it was pretty colors, so I enjoyed it.
I wanted to get stuck in the molasses swamp.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go through some birthdays today while we await your call. And today is Wednesday, January 16th. It is Lin-Manuel Miranda's birthday today.
Yes, he just performed Hamilton down in Puerto Rico as part of a charity drive for the hurricane relief.
Oh, no kidding.
And, he had to change venues. They had it staged in one area, and they had to move it to another theater.
Anybody here see Hamilton?
I listen to the soundtrack all the time.
I've never even heard one song. And for a reason, I wanted to go see the show before diving into the music, that's probably never going to happen.
So there's going to be a few things that are going to live with me till the day I die. One is
herpes.
Yes. A. Three things that are going to live with me until the day I die.
Forgot about herpes.
Yeah. Not getting Robert Pattinson in studio.
Right.
Because I didn't know who the hell he was.
Yes.
And not taking my wife to see Hamilton before it blew up because she was on top of, she was like, I want to go see this.
Well, it would have cost you $1 million at the height of it.
No. That's why I said before it blew up.
Okay. If it's any consolation, it blew up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you would have had an incredibly thin window. My wife the other day says, I want to see Hamilton. I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. Out of the blue. I didn't even know she had any interest. But, I think people across all sorts of musical tastes love this show.
My wife and daughter did go see it last June, yes.
He's super talented.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy he's going to be a major player.
And by the way, touring company shows are great, too. I don't mind seeing those because I saw
Louis Anderson in Hamilton.
I saw Rent at the Niederlander in New York three times. And then I saw the touring show twice, and both just as entertaining.
I'm sorry, Nick. Book of Mormon here in Philadelphia, and it was obviously without Josh Gad, but it was phenomenal. And it's the music really that obviously drives a musical.
Yeah. You know what? There's a local theater on Germantown Avenue, and they put on these productions. I mean, you know, even
I want to do it so bad.
If they're in the ballpark, they're fun.
Swear,
live theater's fun.
Yeah, it is. And I saw Wicked here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And the Elphaba here in Philly, she's now the Broadway Elphaba.
So there.
Aha.
What's Elphaba?
She's the witch.
Oh, okay. I was not aware.
It's like a pie cost.
Is that what it is? Last night, at the dinner table. I forgot. My wife was looking for something called a dongle or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It allows you to use a software.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I go, I thought that was a dick for.
Did she fall for it?
She did. She started laughing. And my kids were wondering why she was laughing.
What's a dick for?
And I'm, are you going to ask me? And eventually, my son goes, what's a dick for?
Peewee.
So Lin-Manuel Miranda is 39. And I guess he's in Mary Poppins Returns as well.
Which I was hoping we'd get a screener copy of that for the SAG Awards. They've been sending out the copies of the movies that we are supposed to vote on for the SAG Awards. And actually, one that I was really looking forward to was this Mary Poppins movie. But they just provided screenings.
Yeah. You can watch it on your computer.
You can?
Yeah. And so here's the rub with that one, Steve.
You can't, these are, by the way, first world problems.
No. These are totally first world problems, but it's kind of bullcrap. Yeah. You can't screen mirror it, right?
So you can't throw it to the TV.
You can't throw it to the
TV.
It will not do that. It will not allow you.
Well, it also undermines the voter's ability to really appreciate the movie if you're watching it on your stinking laptop.
Thank you.
I'm leaving the union.
I think you guys need to. I think you need to have a session later on.
No, I mean honestly, yeah.
I'm calling SAG.
Though everyone talks about cancer, and this is a real issue here.
Lin-Manuel Miranda's 39. Then you have John Carpenter, the director.
One of my all-time favorites, by far.
Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, The Thing, Vampires, and more.
And he produced, and he and his son did the music for the most recent Halloween.
He is 71 today. Kate Moss. Supermodel.
I never thought she was attractive.
Yeah, she never really did.
Even at the height of the heroin chic stuff, I never thought she was that pretty. But she was a longtime girlfriend of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, true. She's 45 today. And then the great A.J. Foyt, a four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. He's in a very exclusive club. And he is 84 years old today, A.J. Foyt. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. Eleanor, never mind. Candyland was invented by who? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Yes. Dan, who invented Candyland?
Eleanor Abbott.
Yeah. At least I didn't say the last name. Hang on, Dan.
The question was, which Eleanor invented Candyland?
Yeah, that's what it should have been. And I got a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. Philly Auto Show is back February 2nd and 10th, 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof, and there's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details. By the way, she had invented the game in 1949 as she was recovering from polio.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Interesting story.
Thank you, Ursinus College, because Jonas Salk went to Ursinus and he cured polio.
Okay, and we never would have had Candyland if it weren't for Ursinus University.
College.
Thank you, guys.
A mind blower.
College,
guys.
So, Kim, Chloe, and Courtney appeared on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Monday. They spilled the tea on Tristan Thompson.
Wow.
And all of their real and imagined celebrity feuds. Plus, Kim confirmed the widely reported news that she and Kanye are going to be welcoming their fourth child, a boy, soon via surrogate. On Tristan, of course, you remember, or at least fans of Keeping Up with the Kardashians may remember, many of Khloe's friends and family members were not thrilled when she decided to stay with Tristan after he got busted cheating on her. Things got pretty awkward when Courtney was asked if she would have stayed with Tristan during a game of Plead the Fifth. So I guess that's something they do on a show.
Yes.
Courtney said, I think I would, after a moment's hesitation. She said, I think when you have a family, you do everything you can for your family. And then Kim piped up and said, well, you stuck with Scott through a lot. And that's Courtney's personality, she said. But then she said more than she may have intended. She goes, from seeing everything that happened, this is Kim, from seeing everything that happened, it's so easy and quick to be like, oh, my God, leave him. And then Kim said, it's so much harder to stay and have the whole public think you're an idiot for staying. And then
that's easy.
And then Chloe's silent, icy reaction spoke volumes, at which Kim blurted out, I didn't mean it like that.
I know what you meant.
I have no idea what that means.
So I don't really like these shows or like these people or find much redeeming quality in any of them. However, I will admit that I'm impressed by their staying power. And I was at the gym not that long ago, and they had episodes of the Kardashians that were old, probably 7 years old at this point.
Kinescope.
No, but the point I'm going to make is that it's fascinating to see Bruce as a man.
That's right.
The Jenner girls as little girls and not overly plastic surgeried models. And so just to see that these episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians have lasted as long as they do and get re-aired on E! Is pretty sadly amazing.
to be able even to say that there are archival episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Phew.
That's troubling enough.
As far as the feuds go, the sisters were asked about them.
Wait, hold on a second, Preston.
Yeah.
Look at this picture. There was a picture of the sisters together.
Okay.
Khloe Kardashian. Look, did you just see it towering over the other two?
Yeah, she's a
the
foot,
hell?
She's like a foot taller, yeah. It looks like. So anyhow, talking about feuds with other celebs. First up was Kim's beef with Taylor Swift, which reached its crescendo 2 years ago.
What happened?
With Kim releasing a Snapchat video of Taylor and Kanye discussing the lyrics for Famous. You remember that?
I do remember now.
Yeah. Kim said, over it. Nope. Haven't had any communication with Taylor. I feel like we've moved on. When asked about the relationship with Caitlyn Jenner following the release of her tell-all memoir in 2017, Kim kept it simple. She said Kendall and Kylie have a relationship with her.
Snap, you go, girl.
Courtney said, I saw her on Christmas Day. And Kim said, it's like New Year drama-free. That's our motto this year.
That was the motto, and I was at their New Year's party.
Okay.
With my girlfriend.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So Courtney said she saw her on Christmas Day, but I don't think Kim saw her.
She's a filthy liar.
Also, what would Courtney say if Scott proposed to current girlfriend Sophia Richie? Courtney said, congratulations, is what she would say.
Wow, so informative.
And in case you were wondering, Kim shared how she'll approach the whole 2003 sex tape thing with her kids. She said, I don't know what I'll tell them about it yet. I mean, I have an idea, and I think I'm just going to be super honest.
It made mommy rich.
And real with it. That's all. Right?
10 minutes of butt work, and I was a millionaire. She said, I mean,
everything like that you have.
The funny thing is they were wealthy before because, yeah. Kardashian himself is one of the top lawyers in L.A., but
they took
her own personal fortune.
They took it through the stratosphere.
Yeah, with butt sex.
But the other thing is that she was high on ecstasy, apparently, during that whole sex tape.
Says she doesn't even remember. Now, Ray J, who's the partner in that, he's
the worst.
He contests that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He says he doesn't think she was on that at all and was savoring every moment of their romp.
Does that part of the story make it when she's telling the kids?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. She said she's going to be super honest and real with them. She said that's all you can really be.
Just watch the show. So
just ripping the lid off of all of it here. What other idiots do we have to talk about? All right. How about Mike the Situation Sorrentino?
Hey. Oh, this guy.
He surrendered to police yesterday to begin his prison sentence for tax evasion. In January of last year, he pleaded guilty to tax evasion on $9 million in income. And was sentenced to 8 months in prison, 2 years of probation, 500 hours community service, and $133,000 in penalties.
How did this idiot think he could hide that?
His brother Mark, meanwhile, was sentenced to 2 years. After being sentenced, he married his longtime girlfriend Lauren Pesci in November. The pair shared the holidays with friends and family and rang in the new year in style. His Jersey Shore co-stars and friends have stood behind him.
Could everyone just listen for a second? I want to ask you. Could you watch my wife while I'm in prisons?
In an exclusive statement to ET, Pesci says, thank you, everyone, for your love and support. Today, Mike and I began to put this chapter of our lives behind us. I couldn't be more proud to call him my husband.
Absolutely. What woman isn't proud to send her husband off to prison?
Now, the thing is, you probably could be more proud.
If he wasn't going to prison.
If he wasn't going to prison.
It's possible. He'd probably scrape up a little bit more pride.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot more proud.
I don't know. Maybe if you were coaching the kids' soccer league.
Sure. All right. Yeah. So for instance,
or perhaps you're working at a soup kitchen as opposed to going to jail.
Right. Suppose he wasn't about to he didn't leave to go to prison for 8 months and he was going to
apprehend a criminal
or Habitat for Humanity. Or like I'm going to go do the Peace Corps.
You might
for
be
eight
more
months.
Proud.
Tinch.
Yeah. She says, as he says, the comeback is always greater than the setback.
And he's a learned man.
Before turning himself in, he posted one last message on Twitter encouraging fans to send him mail and sharing his address. He also promised...
Send me a file.
He also promised an epic comeback, tweeting, the comeback is always greater than the setback. Well, there you go.
You can call me, too, because I have a cell phone in my ass.
on the way to jail, he posted an Instagram live video of himself. He set serve time at the Federal Correctional Institution in Otisville, New York.
Otisville.
Can I go visit him in jail? Do you think, like, if I
you would have
to
request?
Right.
It's not like it's, you know, what felon am I going to visit today?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it works. Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. Can you go visit a random prisoner
yeah.
and want to?
Don't you have no. to be vetted? No, you have to be vetted and cleared, so. Right?
Yeah, you have to actually be on a list.
It's not like you go to the multiplex and which prisoners are available for sit downs.
Yeah, they have to list you and then they do like checks on you. Ugh, why do I know this?
Could you put me in for the 2:30 sitting with John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah, like you can't just walk up. You can't just show up.
I can't just show up. Hey,
God
is Mike
damn
here?
It. Can you bump me, Scott Peterson?
Is Mike here?
By the way, I'm looking
at... I got tickets to Manson.
Looking at his Twitter account, there's his, the address at the Federal Correctional Institute in Otisville. And if you want to write
Otisville?
Him, you can write him. Go
right. And if you write him, make sure it's in a white envelope. I also know that.
White envelope? Why is that?
I don't know. It has okay. to be in a white envelope.
I guess maybe...
Well, they send it back if it's not.
They open all the mail.
Kathy, so, there's a side of you we don't even know.
All right, can we send him a calendar?
No.
They wouldn't let it in.
No, they actually refuse them and they send them back. I know that too.
Kathy knows all about convicts.
What do you...
And also, although...
You remember that movie, The Romano Redemption?
Although it may have been sent back because I sent a few of them and he was selling them in jail.
Naked pictures of you?
No, the calendar. Oh.
What do you call those women that stalk serial killers?
Yeah.
I married one.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Here's one fine month to work outside.
Mandy.
The Romano Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption. Oh, my gosh.
I tell
gosh.
You what would happen if you would set the fellas up with some beers. Maybe you can get some special consideration. You know, the screws, as we call them. Bring them up to the roof and we'll drink them.
Oh, I think he actually gave one to the guard to kind of like schmooze him over to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would want to do that.
The art of the deal.
So, Katherine Schwarzenegger seems to have a good feeling about current fiancé Chris Pratt before they first met. In an unearthed interview with Access from 2017, a full 10 months before the pair were first linked by enterprising paparazzi, the 29-year-old expressed a preference for Pratt among the other famous Chris trio, the other options being Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth, after a little hemming and hawing. When asked about it, she said, Chris Evans. And then she changed her mind and said, actually, Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt's been looking good lately, so you never know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so she always had eyes
it became
for
a reality. Chris Pratt and Chris Evans are buddies.
Yep.
So she'll maybe she'll get to bang him on the side.
The pair were first photographed together in June of last year on a picnic in Santa Barbara, and they got engaged over the weekend.
She is a lovely young lady.
Lovely young lady. She's beautiful. So how did he tell his ex-wife, Anna Faris, that he was moving on when they had just signed their divorce papers in 2017? Anna said on her podcast, Chris texted me this morning, and he was like, you know, I proposed to Katherine last night. And she said, I was like, ah, that's amazing. She then reminded him that she's available to officiate. And she said, I text him back and just want to remind you I'm an ordained minister, joking that she wasn't very good at it, though. She said, I knew that it was going to happen. She said at one point, I love her, I love him, and I'm just so happy that they found each other. Wow. I mean, could they be more sweet?
And I was listening to
an ex-couple.
A clip of that, and she seems 100% sincere. She's happy for him.
I believe it. Yep. Hey, after four decades with the network, Bob Costas' time at NBC has come to an end.
Oh, he's Audi 5000.
Costas said it's all settled quietly and happily for all concerned. Costas had 3 years remaining on his multimillion deal that ran through 2021. But a settlement has been reached. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed. He had been with NBC since 1979.
Unbelievable.
He'll continue to do work with MLB Network. He's expected to have a role in the Baseball Hall of Fame inductee announcement coverage. He's not ruling out further opportunities. He said, I have some possibilities, but I have to decide what I want to do. If I do anything else, it'll be a hybrid of my HBO show and Later, which we were just talking about the other day, his show Later. The breakup comes after Costas was left off NBC's Super Bowl 52 team last year. It was supposed to be his final Super Bowl for the network. However, he did not host the pregame show after making critical comments regarding football, saying, and this was the quote, the reality is that this game destroys people's brains, and they didn't like that. So
they were not happy with that.
So they didn't like it. NFL didn't want him on board. Costas has
You know,
been,
it's wild as you watch the game to realize that all the players you're watching right now are having their brains destroyed.
Costas has been part of the coverage team for many of sports' biggest events, the Olympics, the Super Bowl, World Series, and the NBA Finals.
He's, you know, he's a graduate of my high school, Preston.
That's right.
Really? Yeah, Comac High School North, yeah.
He spoke at my broadcasting school.
Did he?
Yeah, he did spent a lot of time. He worked at KMOX in St. Louis, so he has a history in St. Louis as
Remember
well.
When he had pink eye?
Yes.
I at the do. Olympics.
It was so embarrassing. Yeah, yeah. Sochi, right?
Yeah. Wow. Let's see. Back in the day, Dax Shepard got around. The 44-year-old appeared on the Dr. Phil McGraw podcast. Phil in the blanks is the name of the podcast.
That's stupid.
To dish on his pre-marriage sex life. He said,
Six gerbils, two cats, a hamster, and a rabbit.
He said, I'd say that I've had what could maybe be called a sex addiction at some point in my life. Not one that I had to seek treatment for, but
I am a sexy, sassy bitch.
And Dr. Phil said, well, there are worse addictions. And Shepard said, I would say that I've had sex with a lot of people. I like to do it. It's healthy. Who cares? I'm not getting diseases. I'm single. Whatever. He said he realized that he had a problem after a fight with a girlfriend that he didn't name. He said, so I hung up the phone. I was driving in the car, and I immediately got horny. He said, now that is a biochemical feeling. I'm getting a serotonin dump. Whatever I'm getting, that's a physiological thing, horniness. So I'm just feeling authentically horny, and I think, I'm a Texas girl I know, and a Texas girl, and there was a delay, and then I just had this moment of clarity, and I was like, that's suspicious. I felt disempowered by my girlfriend, and immediately I got horny. Could my brain be, you know, taking care of me? And then Dr. Phil said, he concurred. He said, but he added later that he didn't sound like a sexual addiction that warranted treatment for him. He said, for every thought you have, this is Dr. Phil speaking, for every thought you have, there's a physiological correlate. There's no thought that you have that there's not some hydraulic in your body that goes along with it. He said, I mean, think about a dill pickle.
Yeah, I do all the time.
Think about biting into a dill pickle and crushing it. You feel it crunch. The vinegar explodes in your mouth.
Oh, God.
What happens? He said, you start salivating, right? For every thought, there's something like that that happens.
So just remember the joy of having things explode in your mouth.
Yep, that's all you have to do. But he said, listen, Dax may have had sex a lot, but it doesn't sound like whatever his... He considered it an addiction that he didn't need treatment for it.
Right, right. It's we're looking at the video of the podcast. I guess they perform it on a poker table? Is that what it looks like?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you take the wide shot.
I'm not watching. I haven't seen a.
You figure Phil could, you know, could have a little better, setup. Yeah, is that what it is? Right?
Yeah, I mean that's just the decor of the room, and he's got like cool old time microphones like and stuff like that.
Cool old timey microphones. That's like look at that.
No, it's like a man cave.
Yeah,
he's got a motorcycle in there, and he's got some.
Look at Dr. Phil poster back there
on the wall. So
yep. That's a picture of the Astrodome.
So newly minted health nut Jonah Hill has a great way to stay slim. He said, "I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu 2 months ago and try and train 4 to 5 times a week." He said on social media Tuesday, alongside a photo of himself in a Jiu-Jitsu studio in Manhattan. He said, "In high school, the dudes who did Jiu-Jitsu used to beat the crap out of us at parties, so it turned me off to it." As an idea growing up, but quietly, I always thought it was a beautiful form. He said, at 35, I try and get over the stuff that made me feel weak and insecure as a teenager. It's just wasted time and lessons that you'll never learn trying to let go of that. Nothing more humbling than getting your ass kicked by a 12-year-old in your first week, he said.
I would imagine. You know, that movie, mid-90s.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It went right to to video, right to streaming. It's already on Apple TV.
You didn't watch it, did you?
No. I really wanted to see it. I thought it was going to get like a real deal release.
Yeah.
Look at a photo of him from the social media post that I was just quoting. And doesn't it, if you would have said, who is this? I couldn't have told
you. I wouldn't know. No, he looks good.
He looks thin. He looks great. His face looks different as well. He's got a little bit more, you know, the beard and he's got blondish hair. Wow, so he's going for a completely different look right now. But good for him. He's getting himself together. Social media users have been going bonkers with their 10-year transformation chairs.
I've been watching. Where do these things start?
I don't know.
10 years,
I don't know where.
Man,
like the top nine thing. I don't know where that started. That just happened at the beginning.
Does like Instagram float it out? They must started.
I don't know where this 10-year transformation thing started.
There's a million of them. Some of them just hit, and some of them don't. And there, the egg that got the more likes than Kylie Jenner. For whatever reason, that one took off. The 10-year challenge over the last week has taken off. And
it allows people to post more pictures of themselves.
Yeah, it makes them about themselves. By next week, it'll be gone. By far, the best one that I've seen is the Philly Fanatic. It's the exact same outfit 9 years or 10 years ago as it was today.
The moment I see these things, it immediately motivates me to not do them. So there you go. But the 10-year transformation shares, Caitlyn Jenner just bested everyone with a post sharing side-by-side shots of herself as Bruce and then Caitlyn now.
Did you hear the story? Cindy Crawford was out and someone asked if she was Caitlyn Jenner.
If it was Caitlyn Jenner. No, you got to see the picture.
It looked pretty close.
Yeah.
Wait.
She said she was like mortified.
Yeah.
Somebody asked her that?
They thought she was Caitlyn Jenner.
Jenner. And she took a picture to...
No, so it was like at the event. There's a picture of her at the event and somebody did. I don't know if she actually posted the side-by-side, but her at the event and Caitlyn Jenner, and it looks pretty similar.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at it. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. What a compliment.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do a Pepsi commercial.
Caitlin had posted, now that is a 10-year challenge, adding be authentic to yourself. So I think she did beat everybody in that regard.
I was watching looking at a few of these things, and I guess they're fun. Does your, we all have Macs, right?
I'll have what?
The Mac computer.
So occasionally, like Facebook does, it'll pluck pictures out of your photo album and throw them up.
I thought that's how it originally started.
You were supposed to
take your profile picture from 10 years ago.
That's where I saw it start.
And then your profile picture. Now I think people are just grabbing two pictures of themselves.
The one that I saw was your original profile picture, you got on Facebook, and your current profile picture, not necessarily 10 years. But
I think some of them are good. Just to see how people have, some of the celebrities are doing them, and they look better with age.
Yes,
they look better
10
years later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too much work for me to go back and dig. Was this actually 10 years ago, a picture of me, and find out where my 10-year-ago pictures are?
Half of them are not even from 10 years.
I don't know. So anyhow, that continues. How about this? James Franco settled a lawsuit filed last year by a former student named Ryan Moody, who said that he wrote early drafts of The Disaster Artist. Moody said that he was tricked into giving up the rights to the film for $5,000. The lawsuit has been resolved. Moody's attorney, Brian Grossman, told Variety on Monday terms of the settlement were not disclosed. So
that's wild.
Yeah, so James Franco paid up. Maybe he got a little bit of the idea from this guy.
Did you see the movie?
I did not.
Yeah, I think you'd love it.
All right, I got it.
You have to watch the first, the movie.
You don't have to.
It will help, though, it will enhance.
Yeah. It's like doing whippets during sex.
Just enhances it.
All right. Kate Middleton was answering some pressing questions about the Queen. The royal mother of three faced tough questions during her visit to the King Henry's Walk Garden in London on Tuesday. Kate Middleton was asked by 8-year-old Nadira if the Queen has ever tried pizza, and Kate admitted that she was stumped. She said, that's such a good question. I don't know. She said, maybe next time I see her, shall I ask? Darren McGrady, the former personal chef to the 92-year-old, has previously shared that the Queen is not the most experimental eater. He told The Telegraph, no starch is the rule. No potatoes, rice, or pasta.
Well, that's how she stays, so vital.
Just usually something like grilled sole with vegetables and salad.
She never whips up some tortinos?
They're a lovely treat, so I don't know. Maybe she would.
Bring me some hot pockets.
But apparently she does not, she doesn't do starches. So then I would assume maybe she doesn't have pizza, at least not for dinner regularly. You guys saw this? Maybe Netflix hiking up their fees for the streaming service.
I have no problem with this. A, because I still think it's pretty low. But B, they are so active in producing new content that's good content.
Yeah. What's the fee? What are they jacking it up to?
Standard tier will now be $12.99, which is a hike of 18% from $10.99. So $2 up per month. So it's going to cost you, $25 a year to round it up. The basic plan will go. Wait a minute, is that right? Yeah,
an extra 25.
The basic plan will go up to $8.99 from $7.99 per month. Is that just one screen? Is that the basic plan?
Yes, that's it. The basic plan is one screen.
The premium is getting increased to $15.99 from $13.99. They last raised rates in 2017, reportedly saw a minimal drop-off in subscribers. But you're right, Steve. They crank out so much good stuff in original content now.
Bird Box. You know? Like movies that are... there's so much... of all the streaming services that you guys use, which one are you on the most?
Netflix.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense.
I think Amazon Prime's going up later this month, too, or later this year.
Netflix is, for me personally, is not... It's just a couple of less extra steps to just pick up the remote on the X1 platform and go, Netflix. And it just comes up immediately.
And you have Prime now.
Hulu, it takes like two steps, and then I got to get to it. What do you do now?
On the X1 platform, there's Amazon Prime as well.
Okay, so you just say Amazon Prime?
Yep.
Yeah, and Hulu crashes on my screen all the time. I'll be in the middle of watching something awesome, and then it goes... You know, sometimes I'll just be... It'll be like a blank screen, and I'll hear the audio, and it's such a pain in the ass.
But, Nick, you said that Amazon Prime is going up. So that's your actual Amazon Prime account, right?
Yes.
You don't pay additional for the TV?
No, but when you have Amazon Prime, you get the TV channel as well.
Right,
so
okay.
When that starts going up, which will, I think, in April...
So the initial fee for Amazon Prime, or the fee, that's going up?
The annual fee,
It was $120, right, for a year?
I can't remember.
For the next day, for the free shipping, for the music service, for the other apps, and the TV service.
Okay.
The first trailer, this came out yesterday, for Spider-Man Far From Home has dropped, with the superhero finding himself far from home, as you would imagine. Peter Parker heads out on a European vacation without his costume, but his chill time grinds to a halt in Venice when Nick Fury recruits him to defeat some mysterious foes. The John Watts-helmed Far From Home lands on July 5th.
It looks really good, I was seeing some online stuff about conclusions to be drawn from this trailer in regards to where the universe stands after Thanos.
Yeah. Okay.
And some interesting things. A lot of what you would suspect concerning Preston, the Time Stone.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just glad because when I had heard the title, Far From Home, I for some reason I thought he was going to be on Titan. You know?
Yeah, somewhere.
That he was going to be stuck there. He was going to try to have to get back to Earth somehow.
Nope.
So I like this better.
Reeling it back. And Aunt May, Marissa Tomei, and all her glory in there as well.
And she's great.
And our buddy Michael Giacchino doing the score once again.
Is he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Casey confirmed that and looked it up. So that's cool. And then one last story. Ryan Murphy has shared the bold-faced cast for Ratched, Steve.
Ratched.
It is a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest prequel series on Netflix. Yeah.
Is it like John Wick?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. But it's going to focus on Nurse Ratched.
Okay.
So it's going to be, I guess, her life in that sanatorium or whatever you call it.
Yeah, well, she's so... Okay, she's this controlling, devious, manipulative person. I guess so it'll be a character, or maybe how she becomes that way.
Maybe. So Sarah Paulson is going to star as Nurse Ratched, and she will be joined by John Briones.
They should do a series first called Lil Ratched.
Who is from Sons of Anarchy. Charlie Carver from The Leftovers. Judy Davis. Cynthia Nixon is going to be in it. Sharon Stone is going to be as well. So that's interesting. I didn't know they were kicking that around.
She won. Louise Fletcher, I believe, won the Oscar for that performance.
Did she really?
Yeah, I believe. If you could do a quick check on that, Nick, for that year. I mean, she was as cold and antiseptic and ominous as you could get.
She was easy to hate.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up this guy, John from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
They had a ton of bad actors on that show.
Yeah, Jack won Best Actor. Best Actress in a Leading Role was Louise Fletcher. Best Director, Milos Forman. And Best Writing Screenplay, adapted from other material, and Best Picture.
And
there
supporting
you go.
Role, Steve. Brad Dourif won.
Yes, Billy
Damn,
Bibbit.
I didn't know it got, he got that many.
He got nominated.
Oh, nominated.
Yeah, nominees are down here and winners are up here. But, I mean, it's an impressive roster of wins.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
And then he went on to play Chucky.
Let's get on to the clips, if you don't mind. Gordon Ramsay's To Hell and Back returns with the 70-foot-long Hell on Wheels semi-truck that unfolds into a high-tech mobile kitchen where chefs can be trained and menus revitalized. These days, restaurant owners are faced with a bigger issue outside of the kitchen, and here Gordon explains that.
We're up against it in our industry with social media and trying to get these restaurants up to speed with how important social media is, because you get the feedback seconds later, not 3-4 weeks later in print. So embrace that social media intrusion. Take it on the chin and learn from it. I certainly have.
Flag you. New episodes to Hell and Back airs tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. Next clip. Merging the narratives of Unbreakable and Split, M. Night Shyamalan's Glass follows David Dunn as he uses supernatural powers to pursue the Beast. In this clip, Samuel L. Jackson talks about the mechanics of the scene when Mr. Glass is revealed.
That was a bit of clunkiness with me going through the door and the door slamming, doing stuff, so you kind of got get somebody behind the door, hold the door, so when I can get out of it, I can get there and I can say the last part, I can let the door go. So there's, you know, mechanics involved.
Glass is in theaters on Friday. We had an advanced screening of it last night. We didn't get to go to it, and I wouldn't mind hearing if it was good or not.
So some feedback on Twitter, and really good.
Oh, good.
Very, very positive feedback.
All right. Excellent. I'm excited to see that this weekend. It opens on Friday. That's the entertainment report for today. We have a few things going on. We have a chance to win via a secret text word. Today we have a $50 Best Buy gift card. Text word secret 39333. Bounce word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call with that word. Designated caller wins. We'll also pick a random texter. On top of that, we have cash with Go Fund Yourself. We'll get to that around 8 a.m. And we're going live on Fox Good Day today. We have some stuff from the Philly Pops giveaway. We're going to play Mashup Madness, bunch of stuff on this Wednesday morning. Make sure you stay with us. We're going to help you get where you need to be. Back in just a moment. Hang in there.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to be doing a Mashup Madness later on this morning, 80s edition, which should be pretty cool. So it's a chance for you to win some catchy songs that you've probably known for years and years, might be mixed in with stuff from other eras, which will make it a tad bit confusing, a little bit difficult, but we'll see how you do. And speaking of catchy songs, that's a little bit later on. I'm kind of glad that I don't have babies or toddlers right now because I don't have to sing Baby Shark.
Oh, my God. What is it with this song?
Oh, my God. I love it.
You love it?
I love it.
Really?
Yes.
Shark, do 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 baby. Shark, do 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 baby. Shark, do 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 do.
Last week, it broke into the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it joined, like, you know, Ariana Grande and, you know, Post Malone and all these big hit records.
It's not even that new. Wait a second. This is Post Malone?
Yeah, no, this isn't. It's not a new song.
No, it's been around for a long time.
No, but it has taken off as of late.
So that's what I was going to ask. My ex-wife would sing this song to my son when he was a baby, and my son is 12 now. So she knew it from her childhood.
Okay.
And she picked it up, I think, in camp. Like, it was a summer camp song that you would sing with counselors and stuff like that.
I could see
it's
that.
It's like Poison Ivy.
It's not at all like Poison Ivy. So I'm wondering why it all of a sudden has become as popular as
okay.
it is.
Well, it's the current, that version is by, I guess, a group called Pink Fong, or it's a person, I'm not really sure. It's number 32 on the charts.
32 on the charts, Baby Shark.
It has racked up 2.2 billion views on YouTube. And
this makes Psy look like Mozart.
BuzzFeed asked some experts why the song resonates with kids and adults. The science behind why Baby Shark is such a, you know, you can't get it out of your head.
So, is there a backward masked message in this?
There might. I don't know if they've done that
yet. Kill your parents.
Yeah.
Kill your parents. Kill your parents.
So with these things, there's sometimes a phonic thing that just appeals to us.
Yes.
Is that what they're saying there is?
Well, there's several reasons, and the science was done. BuzzFeed went and asked experts about why this particular song would catch the way that it did. And so they
catch sharks. I get it.
They mentioned several sources, one of them being Beatrice Ilari, who is an associate professor at the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music.
Thornton.
Who has extensively studied children's music.
Thornton. I go to Thornton.
She says the song, at number one, it's repetitive. The song has a simple melody that is not only catchy, but is also easy to sing and memorize. While simplicity makes sense for kids who have a limited vocabulary and feed off of repetition, it is also a key element of why adults find themselves mindlessly humming the song. Studies show that catchy tunes for kids can elicit intense pleasure in the brain's dopamine.
Dopamine?
No, it's dopamine, but dopaminergic system.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dopaminergic system.
I love this show.
Where feelings of, no, you're thinking of, you're thinking of propofol.
Propofol, that's right, same thing.
This is dopamine, which your body produces naturally.
So the repetition in hearing this song repeated will cause the body to produce this.
Yes, the dopaminergic system is where feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, and reward are rooted.
So it's creating a good feeling.
Yes.
I could see that, though. I mean, especially this version. Like, their little voices are so cute.
Well, the dances that you have, there's apparently an accompanying dance that you're
there is, and there's the one that I saw that I loved was a bunch of gymnasts, young girls doing a workout, an ab workout to it.
Yes.
And they go through the entire song.
And you said to me, it would kill a normal human being.
Oh, my God. I would die. I'm like, my dad!
Doing these abs.
These little bastards.
Research has shown that the dopaminergic system works in concert with the superior temporal gyrus.
I thought so.
A region that is involved in storing information about all the sound relationships a person has been exposed to.
It's next to the sup dog.
What's up, dog?
What's up?
Music they listen to while growing up, music their parents listen to, music their peers at school listen to. So it reminds you of these pleasurable days, these memories. These sound relationships offer predictions of what a person will find pleasurable and cause a release of dopamine.
So you're saying the same thing that's it's connected to the same pleasure some person might get when they put on a submissive mask and get in a box.
Or have an orgasm. Yeah.
Or have, okay.
Yeah, same thing.
Maybe I took it a little too far.
Yep.
A little far. Who's the original creator of this song is the band that you mentioned?
No.
That's what we're talking about. It's years and years old.
Pink Fong is the current.
Oh, all right.
I'm not sure who did the original.
Pink Fong.
There's more serum.
All right,
more science.
All right.
It talks about family and animals. The second element is called a compositional device. Common in children's songs, Baby Shark begins by introducing the main characters of the story. Baby Shark, then Mommy Shark, then Daddy Shark, Grandma Shark, and Grandpa Shark.
Over the course of 11 minutes.
Which are all familiar templates for a child. The repetition of each family member four times in the same melody with just the relative substitution further embeds the songs in kids' minds, feeding into both their love of storytelling and creating familiarity with the characters.
Huh? So you got...
They really cut this into pieces.
Yeah.
Baby
Shark, Mommy Shark, Daddy Shark, Grandpa Shark. Side Action Shark. Weird Uncle Shark, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. They get the whole...
That's all.
That was good.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
That was all right.
I was going somewhere and then
Michael jumped in.
Fizzled out.
Yeah. Listen, it's upbeat is another reason. The increasing tempo is especially important as a storytelling mechanism for kids. Ilari said there is a sense of action through the use of dynamics or loudness and tempo.
Of course.
The song becomes faster at the point of the song when the lyrics say, run away, do-do-do-do-do, to signal the small fish are running away and then slower to signal safe at last.
I've never
made it to the end of the song. I don't know what it does.
Last, do-do-do. You're safe from the sharks.
Oh, safe
Wait
at
a second.
Last.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so
you run away and then you're safe at last.
So this entire extended family of sharks we're led to believe is attacking you?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the fish.
Should we listen to the whole thing?
Yeah.
I'll keep it playing.
Okay.
So it speeds up at some point, Kathy?
Yeah, it gets like a little bit faster.
Okay.
Grandma Shark.
The upbeat tempo practically pushes kids to move and dance, and that's another reason why.
Right.
Kids love it. They dance to it. Kids love to dance.
Now I dance to it.
Yeah. So here's Grandpa Shark. Let's go hunt. Oh.
Let's kill humans. Let's kill humans.
They're sharks.
And now it's picking up. Okay. Run away. We're all going to die.
Safe at last.
It's the end.
Is the end because you've been attacked and killed?
No, they're safe.
So it changes narratives. At the beginning, it's talking about this family of sharks, and then, hey, let's go hunt.
Right? Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it changes to the prey's perspective of, we need to get the hell out of here now.
There's... All right, Chiefy, I'll get this shark. But it'll cost you. It's not like traipsing down to the pond for bluegills or tommycod.
So there's a whole narrative behind it. I
want us to
that.
Do the app workout and see how far we can get.
Oh, dear God.
I didn't realize that because you're led to believe, okay, this is a wonderful song about the extended family of sharks. And so you realize that they're preying upon humans who are in mortal danger.
It's not humans. It's fish.
They show kids running away from the sharks.
The kids are singing the song. The kids are playing the part.
So oh, how really? Kathy, then who's
how do the fish
away?
Get away? How do they run?
They're saying run away.
Where's fish. The logic?
Fish don't run, Kathy.
They're teaching kids about sharks.
I think they're telling them to stay out of the water. Sharks are going to kill you.
By the way, the origin of the Wikipedia, Baby Shark started as a campfire song. So there
really?
You go. That's perfect for camp counselors and stuff, Nick, like you were saying, where each member of a family of sharks is introduced with different hand motions, different versions of the song, have the sharks hunting fish, eating a sailor.
Eating a sailor!
Or killing people who then go to heaven.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Ripping them right. apart. Tear them apart, apart. Rip them apart, apart. Suck their blood. Make them die.
So the dance version
make
of
them cry.
Of Baby Shark was popularized online in 2007. This is the German version.
Kill them all. Murder them all.
YouTube video named Kleiner Hai.
Yes, I will make a song that will torture parents around the world. Since they discontinued my medical experiments, I have nowhere to channel my anger. So I shall create the most devious children's song ever.
Published by Alexandra Mueller. Is this the German version? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Baby, hi. Dim, dim. Dim, dim, dim.
Oh, much more ominous.
Okay. More along the lines of
Nation, Baby Shark.
It's got more of the Jaws theme. You know, it's got that.
No, the German sharks aren't screwing around.
Yeah. Kleiner High. So you hear him say that. That's the name of it.
Show me your papers.
Alexandra, it was published by Alexandra Mueller, who is also known by her stage name, Lemuel.
Yes, daughter of Goebbels.
Is set to the theme of Jaws and tells the story of the baby shark who grows up and eats a swimmer. The video gained popularity shortly after, and Lemuel was offered a record deal by the label EMI, which published the song accompanied by disco beats on May 30, 2008. The single peaked at place 25 on the German charts.
Oh, it did better than the American version.
And actually went up to 21 on the Austrian charts.
Did Hasselhoff ever record this?
That's a good question. Based on the single and the original video, the YouTube community created a popular music video, which is a typical example of crowdsourcing. The German version of the song remains popular among German youth groups. And multiple variations have been published since it first gained popularity in 2007.
It's so funny how clearly you can tell the more somber, serious German tone to the song. Baby Shark.
Mm-hmm.
We're not screwing around since sharks are coming after you.
By the way, it's not just a song. Baby Shark capitalizes on how children consume content through audio and video because Baby Shark embodies the multimodality aspect of children's musical experiences.
This is a multimodality.
In our contemporary world, the video aspect is very important, too, it says. And that helps that the video has high production values, bright colors, seamless human green screen action, and toddler-friendly dance moves that make the video a must-replay.
All right, outside of Baby Shark, which you said you weren't subjected to, what was the most annoying kid song during the course of... Your
childhood of my children.
Your children. I don't know if you can remember back to your childhood because we tended to that we were target audiences for these songs then. But what as an adult drove you out of your mind?
We had the whole Barney, I love you, you love me thing had already kind of passed by the time my kids came around.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, Steve, I don't remember
any. Well, I think Dora was annoying. Dora, because Dora,
Dora.
Yeah, but they would repeat things over and over and over again. And that's just how they would teach the kids.
I'm right. I'm the map.
I get it. You're the map.
Backpack.
Lots of fun. Dildos in the pack.
Not dildos.
No.
Oh.
Dildos in the pack.
Yeah.
Dildos in the back. I don't remember.
I don't know what the lyrics are, but the chorus is na 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 Elmo's world.
Yeah,
that
was
one.
It. Na 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 na.
Yeah, and there's a there's
Elmo
a...
has his crayon, his goldfish too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that one is an earworm that'll stick in your brain for the rest of the day.
Hang on a second. I'm gonna go to let me go to Dustin. Hi, Dustin. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
I just want to comment on your Baby Shark song. My son at his school, has they have a little different version. They do Baby Jesus, and then they do Papa Joseph and Mama Mary.
Dustin, in the song, does Baby Jesus kill a family of swimmers?
No, I don't believe he does.
Okay.
I don't think that's part of the song.
All right, because they would have to change that because he would not be preying upon swimmers.
Grandpa God-do-do-do-do-do-do. Grandpa God-do-do-do-do-do-do. I guess. All right.
I mean,
thanks,
yeah.
Justin.
How far does that family, the family of man?
Yeah, I'm remembering Caillou. I'm having like flashbacks and like. Terrible.
Are there songs?
It doesn't matter.
No,
he was talking
about
beginning. Annoying.
Yeah,
and he was just a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
Was there a song?
There is a song in the beginning. Yeah. There's a song in the beginning. Yeah. Jace used to sing the whole thing.
If it's just an annoying cartoon, that's different.
Caillou.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette. Good morning.
Hi, I'm from Glen Alden area. We actually do this for marching band when I was in high school, but the ending was different.
Oh, okay. You did Baby Shark. You mean you guys performed it, or you just all used to sing it?
It was our warm-up when we had band camp.
Yep.
So the ending was Shark Attack and then Lost a Leg. And then calling 911.
So you do lost a leg, leg.
No, it's do.
Oh, do.
Everything followed. It's do.
The hell am I getting that from?
Okay.
Lost a leg, do. Okay.
And then there was call 911, and then I think you ended up actually dying at the end of it. It was like CPR.
Wow. You guys
Bad
carried it really.
Guys, me, do.
Yeah.
Don't let me die this way. Wait.
Jeanette, how long ago was that?
This was, I was in marching band 2011 and 2012.
Okay.
And my sister is in marching band now, and I believe they still do it.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't think I could put up with that.
The original version came out in 2007, or at least the German version. So it has been around for
a
while.
The Reich version.
Let me see here. I'm going to go to, Maureen. Hi, Maureen. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Maureen?
So my niece sings a song that's pretty similar. It's called, I think it's called the Finger Song.
The Finger Song.
Terrible. So it's Daddy Finger, where are you?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Here I am, how do you do? And it goes through Daddy Finger, Mommy Finger, Sister Finger, Brother
Finger. Middle Finger.
Wifey's favorite finger.
But when I can't sleep at night, it's so repetitive that I'll sing it in my head to try and make myself fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't help me fall asleep. That would keep
no.
me awake.
Oh, I never heard it sang
Thanks,
with
Maureen.
The finger, though.
Do you remember Baby?
You do with Baby Shark.
No. Where is Thumpkin?
Where is Thumpkin?
Yeah. Here I am.
Or am I?
I can't say that.
I was just in Mommy.
Then I wasn't Dad.
Can I say that?
It's so dark.
It is dark there. And it's moist. No, I can't even say that. I'm sorry.
Smells like poop.
How would you pronounce this person's name on line three?
Fegh?
Fega? Farah. Hi, what's your name?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Your name starts with an F. What is your name?
No one's there.
It shows that they're all.
Hey, we're going to now go to Faye.
Marissa, what do they try to write?
I don't know. It's Felicia's on the phone.
Oh, no. What was Felicia's first day?
Oh, it was Walpert.
Walpert.
Oh, no.
What is she trying to spell?
We think it might be Fej.
Fej. Fej. Fej, you there?
I don't know. Fej. I
no
give
one's
up.
There.
I
quit.
It's Preston. It's Brian.
I quit.
Hey, it's Mike.
It's Robert. Let me see. I will go to Kelly. She wants to stop. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Yes, I was literally singing that song, trying to fall asleep last night because my 2-year-old nephew demands it. And because his vocabulary isn't that great for baby shark, I kind of get up. Bashar, where it sounds like he's calling me a bitch all the time.
So he, as you sing this song, does he call you a bitch? Or as he's trying to sing it, he sounds like he's saying bitch.
And then the first time, the finger song, the first time he ran up to me and started saying daddy finger, I had to call my brother-in-law and say, what's going on?
Sing the finger song, bitch. Yeah, it's a whole weird dynamic you got going on over there, Kelly.
We're a very loving family.
You're parallel. You're a bitch.
You're a bitch.
Let me go.
Your finger smells.
Let me go over to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
So I just wanted to call in and say the first time I actually heard this song was back during freshman orientation at Rowan University back in 2009.
Okay.
Shout out Prof. So they were actually using this song to corral a bunch of, you know, hyperactive and loud 17, 18, 19-year-olds whenever we were changing parts of the orientation and going through different halls and sitting through different, you know, meetings and stuff. And everybody was being unruly. They would use this to kind of like get our attention. You know how a teacher does, where they just get totally silent and
everyone
talk until.
And it worked.
You know, everyone's saying, "Yeah, it actually did." It would take a couple seconds, but then everybody, at first, they would join in the song, and then we started hearing it so many times over the day and a half orientation that by the end of it, we're just like, "All right, you guys are treating us like toddlers."
All right, so wait a minute, Chris. So like the teacher would start singing it, or someone in charge?
Well, so it was actually so they had kind of like other upperclassmen at Rowan, and they were actually the ones who, I guess, were like the tour guides, more or less.
Okay.
The day and a half orientation.
The tour guides.
Yeah, so whenever we were in large assemblies, they would use that to get everyone to quiet down.
That's kind of wild that you're dealing with college-age students who are being...
Yeah.
Mollified by the Baby Shark song.
That's interesting. Thanks, man. Now, Jessica thinks that this goes back even further. I'll go to her. Hi, Jessica. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Jessica?
So I grew up in Arizona, and I am 40 years old, and I was singing Baby Shark when I was in kindergarten.
In Arizona, landlocked.
That far back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, also along with the song going peanut butter, and jelly. And it was how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song's been around for a long time.
How does it go?
Peanut butter, jelly. I've forgotten the whole thing, but yeah, I've sang that since I was a kid.
It's Can you chuck it a baby shark too on it?
In fact, I remember hearing that at Hershey Park. They had it playing over the sound system there. Which we thought was fun, a little thing.
Oh, that was super fun.
This is great. These are good times.
Yep. See, all of my songs from childhood are like Bible songs.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing fun like Baby. We didn't sing Baby Shark.
Christ.
God, there was. So my nickname in high school was P-Buds, and there was this guy, John Wetzel.
Son of a bitch.
Whenever he drank. No, he's all right. Yeah. But he would always go, P-Buds, peanut butter.
Did you ever hear that?
P-Buds, peanut butter. Thanks, John.
I think I like these type of songs because they're sort of like the jingles. Like, it's just that catchy song. It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. Well, the successful ones are, as they say, earworms. You cannot stop humming them.
Yeah, Jace used to yell at me and tell me to stop singing. He never So we didn't, like, sit in the car and sing these songs together, and I would, like, have to hum them because he didn't want to listen to any of them. But this Apples and Banana song that Matt was talking about on Line 5, that was, like, one of my favorites, and I would always try to get him into it, and he'd be like, no, thanks.
Let me go to him real quick, then. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Gadzooks.
Hey, bud. Gadzooks. So, Gadzooks, what, Apples and Bananas?
Yeah, man. I'm 21. So back when I was in, like, kindergarten, which I guess was 05, 04, around then, that was the big song. And if you ask any, you know, you just say apples and bananas, any kid from my generation, it triggers this old...
How does it go? How does it go, Matt? Screen.
The only part I can remember, I think it repeated, is I like to eat apples and bananas. And I think that just repeated.
Right, well, but then it changed. You would change it to apples and bananas. Like it was like
apples and bananas.
So you just play with the words.
You'd play with the words, yeah.
Apples and bananas,
bungholes and bedingles,
anus and bananas.
All right.
Let's peel that anus.
I am not familiar with. There are a few people that are mentioning this, Steve. You're talking about songs that from your childhood. I'll go to Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, I just wanted to add a song. My kids, when they were growing up, were into a group called The Wiggles.
Oh, we know The Wiggles well.
They were here in our studio.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll pull up a jingle they did for us here in a second. Go ahead, Tracy.
Excellent. Well, they used to sing a song called Fruit Salad.
Yummy, yummy.
Yeah.
And I would find myself, even, you know, because I would drop my kids off, you know, we would sing it in the car and find myself at work, you know, walking around going, Fruit Salad. Yummy, yummy.
Yeah. Would you ever just
what are you singing?
Pull into a parking lot with a flask and listen to it?
Fruit salad, man.
So good.
Here it is right here.
Thank you.
Yummy,
you've got
yummy.
It?
Yep.
All right, here,
listen to this.
The Wiggles.
MMI 93.3.
Preston, Casey, Kathy, Nick, Marissa, and Steve.
MMI 93.3.
Preston loves to eat those scabs.
MMI 93.3.
They love to say, well, gadzooks.
MMR 93.3.
Preston and Steve rock.
Preston and Steve rock.
Yeah.
That was cool. So, that's when they added a girl to the lineup. I don't know whatever happened, if that show continued on or not.
I think it did.
Is that it?
Murder-suicide.
Yeah. No. You know what? This the people that did the new version of the shark song, apparently they have another song as well. Somebody sent me a link to it. I've never heard of it, but I sent it over to Marissa.
Baby Nautilus?
We would sing, actually, from SpongeBob, the campfire song.
Which is?
This is the C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. If you sing it long and long, it's going on and on. C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song.
I like
that. And the fun song. F is for stuff who do stuff. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for, nose picking, something that I'm sand licking. Down in the deep blue sea.
I like that.
That one was a lot
what
of fun.
What about the name... game, right?
Oh, yeah, the name, yeah.
That was a classic.
Banana, Fana, Fo, Phantom.
I still love that.
Fo, Phantom.
Suck it.
That's not in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marissa? No.
Ballsack.
Did Skinamarinky Dinky Dink get any of you guys?
Yeah. No. Dinky Dinky Dink,
Skinamarinky Do, I love you.
I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening and when underneath the moon. Yeah. Skinamarink. And it had hand motions, too.
That was the original theme song for the movie Philadelphia.
Oh.
But they thought tonally it didn't match.
From the Elephant Show.
Skinamarink?
Yeah, Skinamarinky Dinky Dink, Skinamarinky.
From the Elephant Show? I don't remember the Elephant Show.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay.
It was part of a larger show called Two Knuckles Deep Preston.
Oh, that one sounds familiar.
Do you want to hear the other song by these guys? So is it called The Beaver Song?
Okay. Yes.
The Beaver Song?
All right, there it is.
Beaver! Beaver hands and beaver teeth.
You know what?
It's not
as immediately catchy as like the shark song.
Yep.
The shark song, Baby Shark, is so repetitive so quickly.
Yep.
I think for a kid, you need to be able to lock on to that. And this particular song requires too much listening before you figure out the repetition.
Apparently the Cub Scouts sing that song.
Okay. Oh. Here's
Beaver Song?
No, yeah. The Baby Shark Valentine's Day song.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Baby Shark.
It's a ballad.
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Baby Shark.
Mommy Shark, do 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 do.
Okay, this doesn't sound, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Did they mention Valentine's Day?
Mommy Shark, do
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, so you just throw that in.
No, they have an Arbor Day version. Plant a tree.
Hold on. There's got to be something at the end. Valentine's Day. There you go.
Oh, and at the end, they eat a man proposing to his wife in the surf.
Okay. All right.
Fiance. Valentine's Day. This is what they call the sophomore slump there, Preston.
Somebody says, hands down, the best kids' music is from Yo Gabba Gabba. I just don't remember any exact songs from Yo Gabba Gabba. I remember watching that.
Yep.
Wait a second. What? This is not accurate. This shark has a mustache in the video.
hang on. Let me go to Brenna. Hey, Brenna, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So, as a kid, my name was Brianna, and nobody could pronounce it, so they would say banana. So I always got sung to the bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs over and over and over.
Was that a pre-existing song or was it created for you specifically?
No, that's
a whole show on bananas in pajamas.
Bananas in pajamas.
Yeah, that's just the theme song for it.
That's right. Yep. That was a show. I forgot about that.
By the way, the apples and bananas song would go through the vowels. It would teach the kids the different vowels and you would change apple.
Preston, there was a Vivid movie called Banana in My Pajamas.
Shut up.
So it'd be Eeples and Beninis and then Eeples and Beninis and stuff?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes.
Sure there wasn't Dog Fart?
It's on Dog Fart.
Oh,
Dogfart.com. Banana in my pajamas.
Porn chat down the hall.
Hey, I got something for you, man.
Dog Fart.
Yeah, baby.
Dog Fart.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, baby. Look how I found my pajamas. It's a banana.
All right.
I wonder who's with us.
Well, anyhow, we have to break here because we got to get to our money giveaway and so forth. But I just wanted to break down why scientifically Baby Shark and songs of that ilk are so catchy and really latch on. And there's a bunch of scientific reasons behind that. And if you're just tuning in, we went through those. It is jumped onto the Billboard. Which chart is it? It's number 32 on the Billboard Hot 100, Baby Shark.
Yeah, well, they should add that to a torture regimen. Really? You know, if they're looking to, instead of waterboarding, just do use that.
So if you're curious why, it's because it helps, it releases dopamine in your brain for a number of different reasons, and that's why people like that song. All right, anyhow, we need to take a break. Let's come back in a moment. We are going to get to the B-File. We're going to check in with our friends at Fox Good Day. We're going to have time to do that?
Yep.
Take a break and come back? All right, we're going to do that. And chance to win $1,000, maybe more, would go fund yourself. It's on the way. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Cassettes. Celebrating our area's best talent. Tell me who you think about when you hear my songs on the radio. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Cassettes. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
There's a new Daily Rush video that is up, and the title is Pinecone.
There you go.
And that's it. Casey's terrible joke leaves everyone speechless.
No.
And you can watch it now. Hey, I didn't write this. It's what it says. It
can't be terrible
joke. Watch it now at PrestonSteve.com. Of course, it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So all those videos are available right there through the website. And, of course, you can watch them through the Weekly Rush on Comcast as well. We should hear music any moment. Going live on Fox Good Day. So let's
do that. Hey, Preston and Steve and the whole crew over there at MMR.
Yeah. Hey.
MMR rocks. We found this woman. She says she's tired of her boyfriend coming home very late. Very, very late. So she fines him $50 every time he comes home after 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, they've been together 2 years. They say they want to stay together, but she's had it up to here. Preston, what do you think of that?
He's coming home after 4 a.m.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's cheating on her.
I don't see. But, I mean... Is he okay with this arrangement? He pays. I mean, he may just say, cost me another $50, you know?
Oh, yeah. He seems to be okay with the fine. He says it's worth it so I can stay out with my friends.
Well, I think there's got to be parity there. If he comes home early, he earns $50. Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
I mean, I guess you could do that.
There's incentive.
Obviously, they need to break up.
Maybe they've already broken up.
Yeah. What's he doing where he's staying out till you know, it's almost sunrise?
Yeah.
He's
ridiculous.
Going to Wawa.
Yeah, all night long? Is there a rave at Wawa?
Before you guys did this job, an early morning was your thing. Were you late nighters? Was that was coming home really, really late a regular thing for you?
Oh, that was a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay up all night and do this. I think it was obvious the nights I stayed up all night.
When you showed up, pantsless Wednesday.
I was definitely a late nighter and would want to hang out until, you know, the bar closed and all that stuff.
By the way, why isn't he out with the girlfriend?
Yeah.
What's that about?
She doesn't want to be out till 4 a.m.
She's responsible. They don't like each other.
Yeah, I need more details. Like, is he working and then going out after work?
Or? Yeah.
This is what I want to know. If you could fine any of your significant others for something, what would you fine them for?
Yeah, what is the persistent thing they do that you want to get stopped?
Tax evasion.
Well, yeah.
But the government usually steps in.
Yeah.
No, listen, for every battle you fight, there's, you know, they put up with something. There's one thing I would fine for, leaving. Yeah. We have 9 cats in our house. And my wife will leave a plate on the counter with a little bit of food on it, which is like, oh, yeah. that's one thing. But she puts up with stuff that I do. So, it's part of the deal.
Maybe we should go to Kathy on this.
Oh, my God. I'd be so rich if I could find her this stuff.
What is it? Give me one thing.
Well, I think I'd find my 7-year-old your shoes and your jacket. Don't go on the stairs. That's not a closet. You have to hang your jacket up and put your shoes away in the closet.
Okay, how much would you find for that for a 7-year-old?
No, she just withholds her love. That's it's very cost effective.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, kids.
Thank you. Good to talk to you guys. We'll see you later. Can I bring something up?
Please.
Wait, let me do
No, don't do it.
No, let me do the GoFund yourself first, right. And then I'll bring some over.
93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
GoFund yourself.
No, it's not a scam. We want to give you a grand. We want to fund you.
All right. We have a chance for you to win $1,000 right now at this very moment. This hour's keyword in the MMR Go Fund Yourself Nationwide Contest is shop, which hopefully you'll do after you win this money. S-H-O-P. You have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. And we're going to call you. If you're randomly selected, you win $1,000. And everybody who enters is qualified for the $10,000 grand prize drawing. Complete rules and details, all of it available at WMMR.com. And don't forget the word is shop, S-H-O-P. Good luck from Armor Metals and Recycling on WMMR.
Okay.
What I was going to bring up, and this is probably a stupid time to do it because we're going to go right into the bizarre file. But not that long ago, I was watching the movie This Is 40.
Yes, I love it.
And they were talking about, Mike and Alex about, being fined for doing things you don't want done in the house or vice versa. But anyhow, in that movie, Leslie Mann's character, she's just, everything is wrong about what she gets pissed off at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
for instance.
And she, they actually make a point of that in the movie that she's too much that way. You know,
do they?
Yeah, like even with the, she's so wound up, and he's the other, easygoing, and maybe he's too easygoing. I think they have a good balance, but she is wound up for no good reason.
I mean, the dude, she doesn't like that he takes Viagra.
Yeah.
She doesn't want him eating sweets, even though the guy rides his bike regularly and works out and exercises and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like one thing after another. I'm like, no, that's no.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. What's your deal? Anyway,
yeah, no.
It made me think of that when Mike brought that up about being charged for things that you want to do.
Well, it awoke feelings in you.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And
you want to eat sweets and ride your bike.
Well, I felt bad for him.
Yeah. But then again, she comes in and looks up his ass.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a trade-off in every relationship. All right. Anyhow, bizarre file. Let's do the story.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you by Worldwide Stereo. Watch the big game in style. Shop Worldwide Stereo's special super secret savings on select items in store. And that's on select TVs and home theater receivers. Save over $1,000, over 50% off in store only. So an accused thief hid four stolen Rolexes in her vajayjay.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. According to Florida cops who recovered the...
And a grandfather clock.
The pilfered timepieces during a strip search at a Miami jail. Investigators allege that De La Hera Brookins swiped five watches valued at $108,000 from a man that she had met at a Miami Beach club.
Preston, she also had a cuckoo clock in there with the bird pointing in.
Brookins... And the victim later went from the night spot to a hotel room where the theft allegedly occurred. Now, when the victim, Ramon Diaz, used the bathroom around 5 a.m., Brookins took the watches, which were inside a velour Crown Royal whiskey bag.
Oh, boy.
Brookins then fled the room with the 46-year-old Diaz in pursuit. When the businessman confronted Brookins as she was trying to hail a taxi, she started hitting him in the head. In the meantime, hotel employees called the police, who subsequently collared Brookins at the vicinity of the hotel, while officers found a $22,000 Hublot watch in the Crown Royal bag, or Hublot, I'm not sure how you say that, of which Brookins had custody of. The remaining four watches were unaccounted for at the time of her apprehension.
Weird thing. Every time I wear this watch, I smell salami.
The watches, however, turned up when Brookins was being booked into the county jail. During a strip search, jailers discovered the four missing watches had been stashed inside the Miami residence.
Rolexes are big watches.
The Rolexes, which included a platinum Daytona model and a timepiece with a diamond bezel, have been placed in a police evidence locker and will eventually be returned.
Of all the watches to put in your body, the Rolex is tops.
Brookins was booked on a variety of charges. Now free on bond, she has previously been convicted of resisting an officer with violence and prostitution, and she has the word whore tattooed on her left forearm.
Wow, that was a misstep.
A fugitive wrote a note on a mattress for deputies stating that he was aware of the warrant for his arrest.
Hmm.
Deputies said that there was an active warrant for Jesse Pack on charges of kidnapping and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
I know what you're doing.
Deputies arrived at the home Sunday night and found a mattress with writing on it placed by the front door. The note said, "I know my warrant is active. I'm not here. I am finishing a job and turning myself into Volusia Branch Jail."
There's chicken in the refrigerator.
A woman told deputies Pack was not at home, and she granted permission to search the house. And then deputies said they found Pack curled into a fetal position inside a small wooden dresser with a pillow.
Couldn't he afford to post it?
Pack had a pack of cigarettes and a glass pipe with burnt residue inside. He told deputies he hid in the dresser when he heard dogs barking, believing that he was going to be arrested. He was taken into custody and has been charged with resisting arrest, possession of drug paraphernalia, and more.
When you leave a note for Rochelle, do you write it on a mattress or a piece of paper?
I'd use a like a, you know, a double.
A futon.
You know, something like that. Maybe you guys saw the video of this on the news this morning. A driver in a southern Minnesota city was shocked when he saw a young child in a car seat tumble out of the back of a moving vehicle.
Whoa. This footage makes you gasp. Did you see it, Kathy?
No.
Yeah.
So Chad Cheddar is the guy's name.
What's his name?
Chad Cheddar.
That's a cool name.
It is.
Chad Cheddar.
Chad Cheddar.
Yeah, name's Cheddar. Chad Cheddar.
Wrote on Facebook, sharing a video of the incident, "If it didn't happen in front of me, I'd never have believed it." In the dash cam footage, the driver, whose last name, who the hell is Mock?
Yeah.
Oh my, wow.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Chad Cheddar Mock.
Chad Cheddar Mock. And the driver was Glenda Gouda. Yeah.
I like that.
Glenda Gouda.
Glenda Gouda. Glenn Gouda. Okay, Chad Cheddar Mock.
Yeah.
So Mock. Mock is seen driving behind another car when it's.
Wow. It's so stupid.
When its rear passenger door flies open and it's going around a bend, and the child fastened in a car seat falls out and to the ground.
Thank
the
God,
car
this car
keeps going.
They back up.
The car didn't know. So yeah. The car or the driver didn't know. The car probably had no idea.
Car had no idea.
So the mother's in the car going, "Baby shark."
Seriously,
didn't hear the doot 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 doot.
No response.
I said, "Baby shark."
The car the child fell out of is seen in the video driving down the road. The driver apparently unaware of what happened as Mock
yeah.
and several other drivers got out to make sure the child is okay. The child, a two-year-old whose name and gender were not revealed, was not injured. The parents came back, Mock wrote. Paramedics and police checked the child out as well. Very lucky, he wrote. The public safety department and said the child's mother was driving and the car seat was not properly fastened to the back seat of the vehicle.
Well, it wasn't even fastened at all. You guys have hooked these things up countless
not
times.
Not fastened at all.
I mean,
to tumble out like that?
And for the door
well, the baby
to open
probably
up.
Was like messing with the door handle.
You think so?
At
yeah.
the wrong time.
Right, okay.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm not a doctor, but.
Well, either that or maybe she didn't. I'm not a doctor.
I'm not.
Well,
a,
most doctors have cars.
I'm not a ship captain.
I don't know. Who knows? But police released the child to the mother after determining the child was not hurt. Authorities are requesting charges against the mother.
I'm okay.
Against the mother of child endangerment and of child restraint system not being fastened. So she could be in a little bit of trouble because of that.
Quick question. Is it easy to hook those things up? I always hear that they're improperly hooked up. Are they getting better at making them easier to hook up?
I haven't hooked one up in a long time. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The cars have gotten better at...
already coming with attachments for it?
Yeah, so now in the back seats are these two hooks that you're that you can latch into.
Yeah.
That makes it easier.
All right.
But
we went
know,
to the police station because the, most police stations, show, yeah. they mm-hmm. offer it up as
right.
a service, and they'll do it right.
And one final story. A Lexington, Kentucky woman who allegedly drove drunk to teach her son a lesson was charged early Sunday with endangering him.
I'm going to show you why this is a risky proposition.
Sunita Jerram was arrested on charge of drunken driving and endangering the welfare of a minor. Police arrested Jerram at 12:51 a.m. on Sunday.
Now I'm going to teach you the risks of having sex without a condom.
Jerram told police that she drank a bunch of beer and got into her car to drive to teach her son a lesson. Jerram said she had been drinking all day. She also told police she had driven 150 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
To teach her son a lesson.
I'm trying to teach my child. Tell me how to parent.
She was driving a BMW X1. The son claimed to police that he tried several times to get out of the car due to his mother driving, but he couldn't because she had the doors locked.
You stay right there and you learn.
Jamar's blood alcohol was 0.161, which is a couple times over the legal limit. She's being held at the county detention center on a $2,500 bond.
God almighty.
Yep. And there you go. That's what I got in the B-file for you this morning. A reminder, a few minutes left for you to get the keyword for MMR's Go Fund Yourself Nationwide contest. And the keyword is shop. Okay, so you got to do it through the mobile app or WMMR.com. So get on that now. Once again, the word is shop. Good luck to you. We're going to take a break. I'll be back in a moment. We got some stuff to give away. I know we're going to do a contest shortly, so don't go anywhere.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
I wonder if somewhere we still have that original clip, the full clip of Casey's Hi, Grandmom.
Oh, yeah, oh, the whole...
Because it
yeah.
led up to it was, hey, baby,
hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandmom.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I wasn't even, like, cognizant enough to realize that you guys would find all of that clip worthy. You know, I was just telling a story about my kids.
Right. It was something you were trying to get Siri to repeat it
yep.
and see if it could do that.
Yeah.
Hi,
okay. Grandmom.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I have it if you
You do?
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
please.
I would like to hear that.
Casey-Siri. Is it dash Siri or just Casey Siri?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Keep looking. It's going to take him a few more seconds as he's doing that. I can do a shout out. How about
please.
That? Please. This is from Michelle Carrieri. She says, hey, I'd like to send a big juicy shout out to my fiance, Kevin Lombardo, for his 27th birthday. It's January 20th. We're both huge fans of the show and try to make it out to as many events as we can. Last year, on his birthday, we got engaged. So this year, I want to give him the gift of shards. He is a podcaster, so if you can send it out anytime around the 20th, that would be awesome. So here you go. A shart for you. Congratulations, you guys. And thanks for listening. And then another one. Did you find a case?
Not yet.
Okay. It says a shout out to my. This is from Sarah from Jersey. It says here, Sarah Fulton. I'd like to get a shout out to my mom, Betsy. She wrote a really long email, so I'm going to condense
all
it
right.
a little bit. She is getting chemotherapy for breast cancer, and her last treatment is coming up on the 31st. She said even though a possible surgery and radiation will follow her chemotherapy, the doctor is telling her the worst is over.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that the rest of her treatment will be short, about 6 months, and much easier than what she's been going through. And she writes a really long message about how wonderful she is and how resilient she's been. And then she writes, we will sometimes call her famous bald people's names like Sir Patrick Stewart, Mr. Clean, and Voldemort.
I love that.
It's great.
Having fun with it.
And she said, P.S., I'm a loyal podcaster, and I haven't missed a show in 2 years. That's awesome. So, Sarah, this is for your mom, Betsy. And good luck with everything, and thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. And we're going to send this out to you.
Call me. Hi, Grandma.
It's very sing-songy.
It is. It's the new Baby Shark.
Yeah. Call me. Hi, Grandma.
Can you add a kid's music underneath it?
I don't have the capabilities here. But hey, just like looking back on it, you guys all were sitting there like, shh, let him just do this.
There was a dead calm as if we just heard that there were nuclear missiles flying towards the... Oh, my God.
Baby.
Hi, Grandma.
All right. So.
Gigabab.
Now I need. You know how people could do the.
Gigabab.
How's the Pierre thing go?
Oh, hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the Baba Toot About to Baba Badoo Gaga Gaga Bop It Up.
I dare somebody to learn that.
Hang on, wait a second. I want to hear.
Hi.
That kind of sounds like Rapper's Delight.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You get a little funky.
Can you isolate the digigibabab?
Yes, wait.
Digigibabab.
All right, hang on. I just got to hear this.
Do it, and then you'll have to trim it down just a teeny bit more, but that's good.
Want to hear an uncomfortable date?
Yeah. Never mind. I was going to play it, and then he...
I was in the middle of doing the thing.
It was going to be a conversation
between...
I got
you. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, one more time.
It was a match made in
hell. Oh, my God.
She was a child of the woods, and he liked to screw around with Siri. Presenting a love story for the ages. Nell plus one.
Nell plus one. All right, anyhow. Okay.
Four weddings and an idiot.
All right. You know what we need to do? We need to do a contest.
Oh, yeah.
And we have Mashup Madness that we're going to play 80s style.
Ah!
That is
Mashup
correct.
Mashup Madness with Preston and Steve.
Yeah! Can I play Madness? All right. What we're going to do is a special 80s version of Mashup Madness. Two songs have been mixed together. One of them, at least, is an 80s tune. The other one might be from another era, or they might both be 80s songs. You never know. And if you get it correct, you can tell us the titles of the songs. You'll win tickets to Pops Rocks, the 80s. And this is the Philly Pops, February 1st. And it's Philly's biggest rock and roll band, the Philly's Pops, covering the 80s, featuring chart toppers from George Michael, Huey Lewis, Blondie, Cyndi Lauper, Michael Jackson, and more. Tickets available at phillypops.org, by the way.
I've always been a sucker for pop songs or rock songs given the full orchestral treatment.
Yeah. Me too.
I used to buy albums years ago. I've said this many times. Where there was the London Symphony released a whole bunch of, like, they covered Pink Floyd. They covered, Genesis. And then just classics or from the American Songbook. It's great.
Yeah. Yep. Before we do that, hang on. I know we got callers on board, but hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, you're not calling to play Mashup Madness, are you?
I am not.
Why are you calling us?
Because I won $1,000 from WMMR. Ah!
Very good, sir. Go fund yourself. It's the easiest contest we've ever put together. Where are you from, by the way, Jim?
Westchester.
Westchester. Are you you at work this morning? You got the day off? What's going on, man?
I am working this morning. That's correct.
All right, now nice. I take the day off.
It's, an extra grand in the in the paycheck this week. So congratulations. You've been listening to MMR for a long time?
A very long time, yes.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate the long-time partnership with you, and we just want to say thank you and give you $1,000 in cash. All right, buddy?
Thank you, WMMR.
All right, you got it. Congratulations. Hang on the line. How about that? That's
yeah!
simple. Next time is coming up at, I believe, at 11.
11?
Yeah, 11, as the guy said. So, Pierre will have your opportunity to win with GoFund Yourself. It's that simple. But in the meantime, we're going to do tickets to the Philly Pop. So we are going to play Mashup Madness. Excuse me. So let's get some callers on the line. Remember, you got to identify the two songs that are mixed together. If you can do that, we'll give you tickets to the Philly Pops as they're rocking the 80s. I'm going to go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hey, the giggy bye bye.
There it is. It has begun.
All right. You ready to try this out?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
All right. Listen closely, Case.
All right. I was going to ask you to highlight the ones that you want me to... Never mind. We're good to go.
Yeah, whatever, man. All right. Let's play this one. Listen closely. Here we go. Kelly, I need to know, what are the two songs that we've mashed together?
All right, that's Take On Me and December or September.
September! Yeah! Yes! Take On Me and September!
Nailed it!
Okay. Absolutely correct. Yes! Earth, Wind, and Fire and Aha mixed together. So, Kelly,
it works.
Congratulations. We are going to set you up. You're going to see the Philly Pops. We'll get your information. The Kimmel Center is where that show is going to be. So, congrats. Here you go. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit your microphone like that, Casey. Here, let me.
Here.
Thank you.
I only need. You can
take this one. I believe we have a winner. There we
thank
go.
You, Casey. Oh. You can keep that.
Thank you. I appreciate
Could
it.
Can you hand me that winner?
All right, we'll go to the next one.
I don't like that sound, though.
You do like that sound?
I do. I like ASM, that sound.
Man. ASMR. Yeah. I'll go to Dave next. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, buddy. We are playing Mashup Madness, the 80s edition. At least one of the songs.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
At least one of the songs will be 80s based. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Breathe a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we need to.
This is tough. Laughing kids and household pet. On a green with no safe bed. The bullet screams to me from somewhere. This is great. That is a tough one.
It's good that you let it breathe.
I had to get it to the chorus.
Hey, yeah.
Dave, do you have any idea what the two songs are?
I've got no clue. The only thing that I can get is the song from Back to the Future.
All right, that's not going to cut it. Thanks, somebody. Appreciate it. I will go. We'll do three callers per. And do we do the text thing? We can do that? All right, so we'll grab a texter who gets it right if we don't get three callers correct. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian.
There was doo-doo and feces thrown all over the
room. That was good.
Still trying to get over it. All right. Feces. Brian, did you hear enough of that?
I think so. I think I got that.
What you got?
Power of Love and Rooster.
Yeah! Power of Love from Huey Lewis and Rooster from Atlas in Chains. That was a tough one.
I was lost for the first 25 seconds.
Hang on a second, Brian. We got
you. Mike.
We're going to... What would you...
Suck it, Mike.
Hang on, Brian. We're going to give you tickets to Pop Rocks the 80s Friday, February 1st, and that is at the Kimmel Center. Congratulations. All right, we'll get another one up and running. I'm going to go to... Wait, that's Brian. We already have Brian on. Let me go to Ben. Good morning there, Ben.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Ben, we've had two callers and two winners. Or no, we didn't. We had one guy that missed it. You ready to try this out?
Let's rock and roll.
All right, two songs, one of them for sure, 80s. Here we go.
Once upon a time.
I should be able to get a winner with that. Ben, do you know the songs?
It's Viva La Vida and Living on a Prayer.
That's great.
Well done.
Nice work there, Chief. Hang on the line, Ben, because we are going to give you those tickets to the Philly Pops. And it's Philly Pops Rocks the 80s, by the way. So congrats, and we will get your information and set you up with those tickets. Yes.
So did Bon Jovi? All right, so who had the best Lion's Mane around that time, hair-wise?
The biggest hair, I always thought, was the band Britney Fox.
Yeah.
I thought, go back and see those guys.
David Coverdale was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he kind of looks like a lion.
Yeah, as far as it coming down the back...
it's disgusting.
Well, yeah. I'd say I'd go out of the rock realm, and I'd probably say that Billy Ray Cyrus had probably the biggest power mullet of all time.
No better mullet.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones, and we will get Patrick on the line next. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Patrick. Mashup Madness 80s style. You ready?
Just do it.
Here we go. By the way, this is all 80s. This has got 80s written all over it when this gets started. You'll like this. Go too much further than that. So, Patrick, the two songs, please.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Gotta Have Faith.
Faith, yeah.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yes.
Faith from George Michael, Walk Like an Egyptian from the Bangles. Those two songs mixed together. And hang on the line, Patrick. We're going to get your info and set you up with tickets. Philly Pops Rocks the 80s, Friday, February 1st. I still haven't heard one yet that I really love. These are good.
They're good. We've heard ones where I've said I'd pay for that as a single.
I would actually listen to that for enjoyment. So I'm yet to hear one of those. Marissa is the one who put all these together. So we haven't heard or had found these and dubbed them off, and we haven't heard them yet. So you're hearing them for the first time along with us. I'm going to go to John next. Hey, John, you're on the air, buddy.
Kazooks.
What's that?
Gazooks.
Gazooks. Oh, Gazooks. I'm sorry.
The Great Gazooks.
All right. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
Mashup Madness, 80s style. Here's your songs. That ought to be enough, right?
Yes.
All right.
It's easy.
Let's go to John. John, two songs. What are they?
Girls That Want to Just Want to Have Fun, and I can't think of the other one.
Oh, come on. I'll give you 3 seconds.
Can you play the second one more time?
Well, they're the same, but I'll play just a little. No. No, because it's gonna get right to the chorus and give it away. Hang on, I'll give you one more. All right, that ought to be enough. What do you think?
Like my girlfriend always said, just like a virgin.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a virgin. Girls just want to have fun and like a virgin. Actually, the mashup is titled Girls Just Want to Be Like a Virgin. hang on, John. Tickets to the Philly Pops. Congratulations.
So, actually, I was watching The Professional yesterday. If you remember that, Natalie Portman, there's a point where she's singing that song to Jean Reno's character.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing like a play acting thing when they're coming out and entertaining each other.
It had been years since I'd seen that movie, and I was thinking at the end, I would love to see a sequel to that where she is the cleaner.
Oh.
Yeah, because
she's the assassin?
Where she's the assassin. Because she said she wanted to.
Well, yeah. He starts to train her as well.
Well, John did, but then when, you know, spoiler alert, when he's not in the picture anymore, Danny Aiello's like, no, you're going to go to school or whatever. So she ends up going to that, like, wayward girls' school or whatever.
We're
but
going to send you to a school.
Yeah.
You know, and he's basically the, he's like the dad in the,
Papa Don't Preach.
Papa Don't Preach.
That is him.
Everything's tied together.
Yeah. Casey, did you know that Girls Just Want to Have Fun is written by a Delco native? Mm-hmm. Robert Hazard wrote that song.
No kidding.
Yeah. Springfield High School.
Wow, you learn stuff.
How about that?
Yep, yep. Okay, we'll see if we can get another winner on the line. I am going to go to Eileen. Hello there, Eileen.
Good morning.
All right, Eileen, you ready to try this out? The 80s style of mashup madness?
I am.
Here is your song. I kind of like
it. Yeah, yeah, it works.
All right, Eileen, you should know those two songs. What are they?
Okay, well, I know one is Eric Clapton's Cocaine, and the second one, oh, man.
It's too easy.
I'll give you 3 more seconds.
Now that song will be on my head all damn day.
Sounds like the worst porn movie I've ever heard.
Incorrect. Sorry, Eileen.
Thank you.
We got to let you go. Nice try. I'll go to Nicole next. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Do you know the two artists or the two songs that were played?
I do. That was Michael Jackson's Billie Jean and Eric Clapton's Cocaine.
That is correct. Hang on just a second. We are going to get your information, Nicole, and we're going to set you up with tickets to Philly Pops. Congratulations.
Cocaine.
Was Cocaine, was that written by Bob Marley? I know that he did I Shot the Sheriff, which Clapton covered, but Cocaine was not written by Eric Clapton.
J.J. Cale?
Okay, I was way off.
What band is he, or just a standalone?
He's a singer-songwriter, John Weldon Cale. I don't know much about him. I just, a quick search, turned up his name.
Cocaine.
But he also, like to try me some of that cocaine.
You don't want to try this.
He also wrote After Midnight, which became popularized by Clapton, yeah.
Yeah, no
Call Me the Breeze by Skynyrd.
Wow.
So he is a pretty prolific singer-songwriter.
Okay, cool. We'll get another caller on the line trying to give away another prize. I have Jim. Hi, Jim. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
Gag, gag. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Here's the next song.
Sleeping like a log.
let's see if we can. That should be an easy
that's
one.
Incredibly. Jim?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Girls, 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 Hard Day Night.
Yeah, that's good. They mention it.
Some of them are gimmies.
Yeah.
And for Jim, we are giving you some tickets to the Philly Pops.
Hi, Grandma.
The 80s, Friday, February 1st at the Kimmel Center. So hang on the line. All right, I have four left.
Four chances to win.
We should be able to do all of these. I'll go to Natalie next. Hi there, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome. Natalie, we're going to play the mashup for you. Let's see if you can guess. You ready to go?
Okay, yep.
All right, here we go.
It's all the same.
Wow.
Only the names will change every day. It seems we're wasting away.
All right, hang on.
Another place.
I just want to hear a little bit.
Yeah.
Where the faces are so on a steel horse I ride, I want it dead or alive. I'm a cowboy.
That's a good matchup.
I like that. All right, Natalie, what are the two songs?
Never Gonna Dance Again and Dead or Alive.
Nope, that's incorrect. Not correct. Sorry, we got to let you go. All right, let's go next to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you know those two songs?
I do.
All right, go ahead.
It is Careless Whisper and Wanted Dead or Alive.
That's correct. Ooh. Hang on just a second, Steve. Tickets to the Pops Rocks the 80s, Friday, February 1st, and it's the Phillies Pops. Careless Whisper is kind of a... That's a guilty
pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure.
You know, it's catchy.
You know, guilty feet have no rhythm.
That's correct. That's why he's never going to dance again.
No, he can't. His feet are too goddamn guilty.
And they'll give it away. There's no rhythm.
Recalcitrant feet are even worse.
Look like an idiot on the dance floor and she'll
know. What's wrong with your feet?
You cheated on me, didn't you?
They're guilty.
Careless Whisper.
It's like Fallen Arches.
Let's go to Kevin. Hi there, Kevin.
Darker.
Yes. Darker to you, sir. We're going to play a mashup. Let's see if you can guess the two songs, win a prize. You ready?
All right.
All right, here we go. Okay, I love that mix.
That had to be so difficult.
Kevin, do you know the two songs?
Oh, one is going to be Beat It. Michael Jackson. The other one. Oh.
You got 3 seconds.
I have no idea.
Oh. Right. Sorry, man. We got to let you go. Sorry, my man.
So,
three callers, and then we'll go to Tex if you don't get it right. Let me go to Fred next. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Do you know the two songs?
Yeah, I think one of them is Beat It, Michael Jackson. The other one is Iron Maiden, The Trooper.
Yeah! That is absolutely correct. Hang on the line because we're going to get your information on this.
They told him, don't you ever come around him. Don't want to see your face, you better disappear. In their eyes, and their words are really clear. So beat it.
That's great.
Just beat it.
All right, since you got it right, we are also going to give him tickets to the Philly Pops and their 80s tribute, Pops Rocks the 80s, and that is February 1st. All right, where do we leave off? We're going to...
Going to Ryan.
Ryan next? Okay. We have...
Walper.
Oh, we have two left.
Yep.
Okay, so, hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, Snort Dorton.
Snort Dorton. By the way, can I mention something?
Please.
This, so when I exercise,
yeah,
I watch Game of Thrones. and I have the closed captioning on because I'm on an elliptical. It makes a noise. I want to be able to make sure I don't miss any of the dialogue.
Sure.
Regularly, regularly. I'm not talking to you. Hang on, Ryan. Regularly on, and so there's a lot of horses on the show. And a lot of times it will say, it will have in closed captioning the words, horse snort. And here's
start laughing?
Exercising.
Oh, my God.
And I'll just go, snort, dort. Just be laughing at it.
Oh, my God.
Snort, dort.
I'd laugh, too. Snort, dort.
Horse snort. Okay, Ryan, thanks for sitting through that. Here is your mashup. You ready?
Got it.
All right.
Into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan, riders on the storm.
All right, Ryan, you ought to know one of those for sure. Let's see if you know both of them. What do you think?
Yeah, the one's definitely obvious. I'm drawing a blank on the other one. I'm going to go with my default then and just say Kokomo and the German Baby Shark song.
No.
Kokomo and Baby Shark.
Kokomo and Baby Shark. Nice. Good effort, though. You should always try.
I thought I had it.
Thank you, Ryan.
Good effort.
All right, let me go to Dave next. Hi, Dave. Mashup Madness. How you doing, man?
Top of the morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Do you know those two songs?
I believe I do. I think it's Rapture and Riders on the Storm.
Yeah, that's great.
Very good.
Yep. Rapture from one.
Help me out here, Preston.
Hang on, buddy. Yeah.
What does he say here? Because I hear Hector out alone. I don't know.
Actor.
An actor out alone.
An actor out alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking a loan, like a bank loan.
Oh.
An actor out alone. Okay. Thank you. Over there.
Hang on.
He's playing with his hair. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
No, I know. Hey, listen, we've had many conversations on the air about misunderstood lyrics that have just stuck with you forever. Mm. I had one not that long ago, and I can't remember what it was, but sometimes you just it plays out in your head. Oh, it says an actor out on loan.
I always thought it was out alone.
All right, now we're clear on that.
I thought like an actor out on his own.
Yeah, on the stage.
Actor out alone.
Yeah.
No, an actor out on loan.
Oh, let's hear that.
Hey, so you're kind of, yeah. Oh, you got to back it up a little more.
All right, back it up.
Okay. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone.
Yeah.
Riders on the storm.
A little subtle difference. So we were both right.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. Let's see. We have one more of these.
We have one more of those, but we're out of Philly Pops tickets. So the last one I can throw in a different prize if you'd like.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to waste these.
Why the hell not?
We're going, hell, we'll do it
hell.
Anyway. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Stephanie. So we're not doing this for Philly Pops tickets. We're going to do this for
the glory.
No. What am I? Is this what we're giving away?
Yeah, man.
$50 Best Buy gift card, okay?
Awesome.
All right, Stephanie, listen closely. This is our last one. Here we go. We have in the crew here. Is it
I don't think it works as well.
Yeah. Stephanie, do you know the two songs?
The one sounds like Walking Like an Egyptian.
Walking to Egypt?
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Can't think of the title.
3 seconds.
Oh, God. Oh.
My husband's gonna
play. Sorry, nice Stephanie. Gotta let you go. I'll go over next to Sandy.
Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi, Sandy. Did you catch those two songs?
I think so. I think it's Walk Like an Egyptian and Are You Gonna Be My Girl by
yes.
the White Stripes.
By Jet. Yes. That's absolutely correct. You got them both right. And that means we are going to give you a $50 Best Buy gift card. So congratulations.
Awesome.
Head to
Thanks
Best Buy Northeast Philly's open house event Saturday, 11 to 3. Discover what's next in tech and home appliances. Access exclusive offers and enter for a chance to win incredible prizes. No purchase necessary to enter. So there you go. Mashup Madness 80s style.
Two appearances of the Bengals.
Hi, and a couple of those. Those weren't all great ones. I think the best one was Iron Maiden and... MJ on that. So, but thank you for playing along. Thank you to Philly Pops for all of the tickets giveaway. We do appreciate that. We have a break to take. Let's do that very thing. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Stay with us. We shall return shortly.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the President and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy Romano, very attractive young lady.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Very attractive young lady.
And years ago caught our eye when she was doing stuff on NBC.
But if you've ever had fantasies about her feet...
I'm going to ruin it.
We're going to kill that for you now.
Well, some people call them feet. Other people call them talons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I'm so bummed about this. So... 2 years ago, it's just like something. So listen, I'm not dying of any sort of
no. In fact,
terrible disease or something.
It's quite common.
Yeah, it's just really stupid. So about 2 years ago, I was running, jogging a lot.
You were
and
running.
I cracked my toenail, my big toenail, and it never healed. So for about 2 years, I had a crack up the center of my big toenail, and it just wouldn't, every time it would grow out, it would re-crack. It would just split right up the middle.
Can I ask how far down the
like
toe?
About halfway.
To her knee.
Really? Okay, so down into what they call the quick.
Yeah,
okay.
And it wasn't even sore.
We're not
like,
quite there, but anyway.
It didn't hurt, like nothing. It just was a crack in the toenail, whatever. I got so annoyed that it wasn't healing that so at the nail salon they put like a silk wrap on it, so it's basically just like a covering over it,
okay,
to help it the nail grow out.
Okay,
well,
so
what,
it holds it together while it grows.
Yeah,
okay.
Holds it together
like
while it grows.
Like a nail splint almost.
Yeah, almost like that. Well, what happened when we did that was that it then basically trapped any moisture or whatever underneath. So now I have a toenail fungus.
Fungus on you.
I have a fungus on my toenail. I was once beautiful, and now my fungus is eating away at my feet.
Yep, that's pretty much how I feel.
So, it's common, though. It happens
it's
with...
It's common,
yeah.
But to get rid of it is like a bitch.
What do you got to do?
Do you have to wear, like, toe cots, like finger cots?
Like, I could potentially have it for years.
Really?
So I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor because I know that it can get like really. If you looked at it, you wouldn't even like you'd see the crack, but you wouldn't even know that there was a fungus under there. But I wanted to catch it. I wanted to to do something about it because I don't want it to get into that gross like funky nail that people get. And
you don't want not to be indelicate. You don't want it to work its way up to the vajayjay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's closed off anyway.
Yeah. Had a garage door put on that.
Uh-huh. So my options, right? Went to the doctor. My options are this medication that I have to first have my liver tested for because it can to make sure that my liver is functioning correctly because it can affect my liver.
Yeah.
So you know me and medication. I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Also, she told me like no ifs, ands, or buts. You cannot drink alcohol while on this medication.
Wow.
Okay, so their medications, in
I'm
fact,
out.
I think the fingernail, it's the same thing, basically.
Same thing, yeah.
So, and you have, yeah, it is. I've heard that about the sensitivity for the liver and this medication. So if
Dr. Mike actually suggested that I don't take it.
Okay.
So then the second option is this topical.
Amputation.
No, this topical that you put on the nail, and you have to make sure that it just goes on the nail. It doesn't go on the skin. It can irritate the skin.
How do you keep it if you're wearing shoes and socks and things like, how do you keep it?
I guess that's why it's so difficult to get rid of because.
Well, maybe you have to take time where you sit for an hour with your foot up and you put that stuff on.
Well, I've already started that. However.
I mean, every day, but anyway.
You have to do it every day.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of be, you know, diligent about it. You have to do it every day, but it will take a year to 2 years. With the topical.
Oh, that sucks,
like,
man.
Like, are you kidding? Those were my two options? Right. Failing liver or 2 years of a nail fungus?
I agree with Mike. Obviously, he's the, you know, the best doctor around, so he's you know, anything that's going to might potentially screw up the liver. So if you do your sitting with your knee, with your fingernail, toe nail ointment, how long do you have to make sure it's intact and sit there? So you have to do this every day. How long are we talking
every
day?
They didn't say. She just said put it on, you know, put it on the nail. I've been doing it at night so that I can just sit with my, you know, my foot out and before I go to bed. And it's kind of like an oil. So it stays on there. It doesn't really wipe off, like even if you put a sock on.
All right.
But of course, I am looking into like alternative methods here because there's no way. I'm not living with this for 2 years. Well, I need to get a pedicure, guys.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I hear you.
Guys.
Do whatever you do. Don't let the eyebrow king know about this.
Have you not gotten a pedicure? You have lots of fungus? Get her out of here.
Yeah, he'll never see you again, even though it's at the opposite.
You are
part
banished
of your body.
From the kingdom.
Case, I haven't had a pedicure in a really long time. And the main reason I did that was because I was trying to get the nail to grow out. So I was like not touching it. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't going for pedicures. I was trying to get this to grow out. Then I went and they suggested doing like this silk wrap thing, which I think completely screwed me.
Sounds like it did. Yeah.
But listen, I read about it. There's like all these different methods that you can use that supposedly help it go away. So
like what?
Most times I'm like, okay, well, let's just, we'll skip past this because it's really not going to work. But if you do have an alternative method, send it to me because I'm not going 2 years.
I'm going to take some calls here in a second. There might be people that can help you out with that. But I listen, I'm the king of ointments, Kathy. I mean, I have psoriasis, you know.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's, you got, it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, my God.
You got to put that crap on every day. And actually, there's a medication I could get that'll just fix it up right away. But some of the side effects are like, you know, potential for lymphoma, you know, and stuff. Oh, let's see. I could potentially get cancer, have clear skin, you know.
Yeah, your anus might fall out.
Right. So
all these things that just don't make it worth it to do the risk.
I might do it, though.
Oh, really?
Have your anus fall out?
Yeah, no, not have my anus fall out. But it's with my toe again because what some people don't understand is psoriasis affects your nails as well. And so, and I'm a former foot model, for Christ's sake.
Right.
I have this severe pain in my big toe.
You don't
and
want
it's,
that.
It's from that, and I'm thinking about just going and taking the medication. And actually, they're injections that I have to give to myself. But,
so you talk about.
But I've done it before.
So years ago, so I had vitiligo. Years ago, they misdiagnosed it as it's not tinnitus, but it sounds similar to that. It's a skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the cures for it, or one of the ways to mitigate it, is by applying Celsin Blue when you're showering, mm-hmm. and so. For about a year and a half, I looked like a smurf. and I'm like, and it was totally missed. I'm like, oh, my God. But the crap of putting that on and letting it dry, mind you, I know there are people who have very serious issues. And,
sure.
And,
yes,
and it's all relative, and this is very easy to do, and there's and our hearts go out to you for that. But just in this basic stuff, and I know what you're saying, you have to be practical. Are you going to be able to do that all the time?
Well, listen,
and will you be able to do it for 2 years?
Right. I mean, that just seems like I'm looking for the third option. What's the quick fix?
There's you go to the beach a lot too.
Well, there's a laser treatment apparently that you can get done. It's fairly new, but one doctor was like, "Meh, it doesn't really work." And then another doctor said, "No, it'll work. You'll see a difference in like 6 weeks." So
you can put your top back on
when doctors disagree.
Yeah,
you know, come on, man.
I know.
Don't we all agree on this? Let me go to Steven here. Hi, Steven. Good morning.
Panel 7. Hey, how you doing, guys doing today?
Good. What's up, Steven?
My wife has a big toe fungus tooth cap. And
awesome.
Believe it or not, she's used Vicks Vapor Rub, and it's actually gone.
It's gone.
Once in the morning, once in the evening, before bed.
We've gotten a lot of texts saying that.
I read that.
Really?
That the Vicks Vapor Rub. Yeah, I just don't want to make it worse. Like, you know, of course, I'm reading that that's like an alternative option.
Kathy, your feet smell like grandma. Hi, grandma.
Oh, I love the
Hi,
smell
grandma.
Of grandma.
What's that?
Oh, my God, that's a great smell. My fungus has cleared up, but I can breathe.
No, I love the smell of Vicks.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So have you...
Thank you, Steven.
You've seen it mentioned online. Are there any side effects or downside to it?
To the Vicks?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a regular ointment. I can't imagine it would do anything.
I know.
And it's... So, and Nick, you're saying you're seeing a lot on...
A lot of people texting in that's a home remedy.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that it's not going to make it worse. Because the problem with mine was the split up the middle of the nail. Like a normal, I guess, you know, if you have a normal nail with a toe fungus, you're putting whatever you're using on top of the nail. But mine is actually going into the skin because I have that split.
You mm-hmm. technically have a toe-gina.
I do have a toe-gina.
Yeah. It's a rare medical condition.
Yeah, so this gets confusing. It wouldn't be a camel toe. I mean, it's an actual toe.
It's an actual toe, so it's a toe-gina.
Toe-gina.
I like that. I'm going to go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi, I like turtles.
Oh, hey. Great. What's up, Stephanie?
Kathy, has your doctor taken a sample of your nail and looked at it under a microscope?
Oh, God, that just made me throw up. No.
So I'm 35, and I've had trouble with my toenails I've had fungus issues since I was, like, 25. So for, like, 10 years. And the problem is, it's not going to last that long for you, but the issue is that I didn't get it treated right the first, like, 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
So I saw 3 different podiatrists. I had issues where my nails would ingrow.
Mm.
Not at the end of the toenail, but way at the base where it grows out. So they literally have to do a surgical procedure up the side of the nail to remove a sliver of it up the side.
So they were slicing open. They were slicing open your tail to take care of your tail. They were slicing open your toe to take care of that.
To take care of the ingrown issue.
Yeah, that's horrible.
There was a fungus going on causing that no one ever treated. And then I took a round of that medication where you can't drink. I did that 2 or 3 times, had all these liver tests done. Nothing was helping. And finally, after years and years and years, I went to a doctor my friend recommended. And he said, let me take a sample of the nail and look at it under a microscope and see what kind of fungus it is. He came back and said, and Steve is going to have a fun time with this, but it was a yeast fungus.
Ah, so it is a toe-gina.
But he gave me Diflucan, which is a medicine that your gynecologist might give you for yeast infection.
Oh, wow.
5 weeks after doing several rounds of months of that other medication, 5 weeks of this stuff, and it was gone.
So I have to tell them I want them to take a sample of it?
Because you could be treating the completely wrong fungus.
Okay.
So there are all these different kinds of fungi. They're going to throw, you know, one kind of medication at you that might be the most likely type of fungus, but it could be different.
Well, that's actually sage advice. And so taking a sample could simply be just clipping the toenail, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's not like he's taking off your whole toenail. It's
just
a little clipping. Like
a little clipping.
Your toenails. Exactly.
He can pick which half of the nail he wants to clip.
Stephanie, did you do any of, like, the Vicks or any of the other methods?
I know not Vicks. I have heard of that. I've also heard about tea tree oil being an option.
Yeah.
I still have like lingering issues from just years and years of it not being treated correctly. So I might go back if I still have problems. But I have heard of the tea tree oil. And my podiatrist also gave me a something you put on like a nail polish that also has antifungal properties in it.
It sounds like you have some options. Somebody here, Kathy, is saying that you can bedazzle your toes with Sucrets.
Wait, you know what? So the oil, so before I went to the doctor, I tried to treat it myself, and I read about the oils, and one it was tea tree, and the other was oregano oil.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I ordered it. My entire house smelled like oregano from like two little drops on my toenail.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding you. The whole house smelled like oregano.
All right. So people are texting that in a lot as well, Kathy. Tea tree oil, oregano essential oils, also something called, and I'm not familiar with this, malauka or melaleuca.
Okay.
And apple cider vinegar.
That, well, you know that's exactly what my mother said when I called her.
Did she say you should soak it
in apple cider vinegar? It'll be gone in a few weeks. I'm like,
Kathy, follow me down to the dungeon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm going to whip up something.
let me see. I have Brent, who used to work for a podiatrist. Brent, good morning. Very
speaking
nice.
Speaking Kathy's language.
What's up, man?
Okay, so I used to work for a podiatrist, and the only thing we did was treat this fungus. The condition's called onychomycosis, and 9 times out of 10, it's caused by a fungus called T. rubrum. Rubrum means red. Now, the lasers that we use target red pigmentation, and through ablation, pretty much cause them to explode. It doesn't hurt.
Wait,
but
so you did, the doctor did the laser treatment?
I did it.
You did it, and it is effective?
It is absolutely effective. The ugliest toenails I've ever seen in my life, and I did this for a substantial period of time. I treated the guy once, and I came back in 6 weeks, and he had 2 millimeters of perfect, clean toenail growing in right behind this just monstrosity of a foot.
All right, so let me ask you, Brent. So you do the laser treatment. Does Kathy, so if Kathy does this, does she have to be taking any sort of medication? Or you, is the laser enough and then you just let it take its course?
It's just the laser, but now the other stuff is going to help prevent from spreading because, you know, sometimes it can take 2 treatments because if it's deep enough into your
toe-gina?
The podiatrist said that it's not bad.
Right. But yeah, a lot of the stuff that these people are talking about, they'll work with, like, you know, the yeast infections. But if you have an actual full-on fungus, it's not going to do anything. I've seen, you know, several podiatrists that tried, oh, no, just put the Vicks on it. No, all you're doing is bleaching the top of your nail. You're not killing anything.
All right.
Okay. What is the name of the laser? What's that procedure called?
It's just laser fungus removal.
What's it?
Very creative name.
Do you know what Aerolase is?
What? No.
Areolas, Kathy.
Yeah.
That's how you bleach your nipples.
Oh, he squeezed in the pink or brown. All right. Interesting.
There's a doctor in Wayne that I used to work. That I used to service his patients, and he full on believes in it. It's worked for a ton of his customers. You know, look him up. Right off the main line there.
What's his
and
name?
I'm telling you, I can't remember. I haven't done this for like 6 years.
Just look up Wayne Rotting Toes.
Right.
See Rotting Toes.
That ought to do it. All right, Brent, thanks for the valuable information, man.
He seems to know his stuff, Kathy.
I definitely do.
All right, I appreciate it, man.
Take it easy, man. All right, let's go to another know-it-all, because he's, as you would imagine, called up immediately.
He knows his stuff.
Dr. Mike Cirigliano, Penn Medicine and Fox 29. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
You know, you're turning into a medical show.
I know. There's a lot.
What the heck is going on? Now I know, Kathy, why you... So are we allowed to talk about your toes or just toes in general?
You're giving permission.
I told them I have a toe fungus, and I did go to a podiatrist, not the one that you recommended. I had to go to a different one.
All right. So basically, from an internal medicine point of view, a lot of podiatrists will use antifungal medicine. The problem with that, it can have some side effects, and it's metabolized through the liver, and I get a little uptight about that kind of thing because, as far as I'm concerned, unless you have diabetes or recurrent infections of the skin known as cellulitis, I kind of live with toenail fungus. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But one of the treatments that I use is topical, and it's called Jublia. It's prescription, and it works quite well. And
but that's the stuff they said could take up to 2 years.
Well, are you going to be on the cover of Toe?
I just might, Dr. Mike.
You've seen this woman.
Oh, my God. I mean, so you could use the laser. I agree with that gentleman that there are some successes with that. Some people use systemic medication. I just get a little uptight about, you know, I'm much more concerned about my liver than my toenails. So what I would do if I were you, because the Jublia that I've prescribed to patients, and I've, by the way, I have absolutely nothing to do with that company or anything else. It's just topical, and it works better than some of the other drugs I've used for the last 25 years, like Penlac. But forget some of these other things. I heard people say tea tree oil. I mean, you can soak your toe in all kinds of things, but really it's not going to get to the root of the problem. But it's everywhere, and the problem is it comes back. And so unless you're a diabetic or you have recurrent infections, that's where we really get nervous about toenail fungus, because it can lead to very serious conditions. But, I mean, come on, Kathy.
So should I do the laser or do the topical?
Well, you could do what I would do, because I believe, remember, Preston, I don't like to do anything invasive unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, I've never heard of anyone having a complication from laser treatment of the toenails, but what I would do is try the Jublia. I can give that to you. I mean,
I have it.
Well, is that what they gave you?
Yeah. That's her issue.
She does not want to. She's the concept of 2 years of applying this ointment is not thrilling for her.
She said, "I've got to do it for 48 weeks, and then we'll see if there's a difference."
But the bottom line is that's what. If he says it's going to be gone in a month, then one, you're going to be disappointed, and two, it might work sooner than that. I've had patients where it's worked.
So 1 year.
And then what about the caller who said I should get a biopsy because it depends on the type of fungus.
I've in 25 years, I've never heard of that. I mean, if someone has recurrent problems where, you know, nothing works, then maybe, but I wouldn't do that. I've never asked to do that in all my years of practice. What you need to do is treat it. And I think that if you use the Jublia, and by the way, I'm not a podiatrist, but the podiatrist agrees with what I'm saying, do it.
All right. All right, what about the laser? Is worth exploring?
That's another option.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try that.
I think that, that there are a number of ways to skin the cat. But if you want the least invasive, non-obtrusive way to deal with this, I'd consider the antifungal topical treatment with Jublia.
You know why we keep talking about this stuff? Because we want you to call in so we can save our $25 copay.
At Fox and with you guys, you're all my patients.
Yeah.
I just set up shop over there and it's
really, honestly, we just set you take a studio and put a bed in it and some of the medical equipment, you'll be set.
Yep.
Well, but what I love about your show is that you have great music, you have great comedy, and you touch on things that are meaningful to people. That's what makes your show so far superior to everything else out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
All right, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
Thank you.
You know what, Kath, I didn't ask or I hadn't heard asked is, does it hurt?
No, that's what I said. It wasn't the split up the nail. It wasn't painful. There was nothing.
Okay.
Can we see it?
No.
Why?
She's self-conscious about it. It's a toe-gina. You don't show that to everyone.
No.
Coward.
I'll show you mine.
That's why I need it fixed by sandal season.
I have horrible toenails.
I hear you, Kath.
No?
No, I'm not showing you.
Do you want to talk to a podiatrist real quick?
Yeah.
All right. It's Dr. Larry is on the line. Hi, Dr. Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you all at work.
It's all good. So you are a podiatrist, sir.
I am indeed.
Excellent.
I have nothing to say. Dr. Mike beat me to the punch.
Okay. Oh, you did. Okay. But it says here that you think Kathy should get a biopsy?
Well, that's the only way to identify if it is a fungal infection and what type of fungus it is.
Okay.
Send it to the lab and let them tell us.
What is it possible because it is a toe-gina? Should you get a Pap smear on it as well?
Absolutely.
All right.
Never hurts. All right. Chair set up. I could do that.
Thank you, Dr. Larry. Nice talk to you. Appreciate the concern.
Don't do the laser because you're wasting your money.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch! You can't get a consensus.
It's a waste of money. It's temporary at best. It'll make it look good for a while. The fungus can come right back.
What about the topical and the laser then?
Topical takes a long time, like you said, 48 weeks. The Jublia is very expensive.
Oh, that was the other thing.
It's pricey.
The medicine is very expensive.
Wow. Very expensive.
Can you use the laser to shoot the Jublia off your toenail?
Absolutely. We just remove the toenail so it doesn't grow back. You're done with fungus.
There you go.
Just do it.
Very popular. All right, Dr. Hello. Larry, we got to go. I'm sorry, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. Wow. All right. Well, interesting. I never would have thought Kathy would have fungus growing on her body.
Well, so. I mean, it still looks good.
There's a yin and yang.
No, it doesn't.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to do that very thing. Let's give you a case of beer. Why not? I think you could use a drink after the toe fungus conversation.
Gross. Sorry about that, guys.
Case of Yards Signature IPA. Caller 14 at 215-263-WMMR. Perfectly balanced, loaded with the American hops you're looking for, and available in bottles and cans. Available at The Works at Why I'm Missing. We'll break. Come back in a moment. B-File stories aplenty. Stay there.
Start the year off with MMR's fundraising scheme that's totally legit.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you. We can overload your pocket with $1,000 in cash, and I'm like, fund you. Here's a what you do.
Introducing Go Fund Yourself. It's your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday, with a second chance drawing for 10 grand. Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
All right, let's get to these stories. I got the Bizarre File ready to go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom of Drexel University's test drive from February 11th through the 15th. You'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. Well, a 62-year-old woman came back from the dead in a morgue, was rushed to intensive care, only to die again several hours later from hypothermia because she was in the morgue.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The grandmother had been drinking with relatives at a party in Russia when she appeared to have passed away.
Oh, man.
A policeman then certified her as dead and took her body in a hearse to the morgue. However, the woman was still alive and started moving while a morgue worker tried to fit a tag on the foot of her corpse.
Stop moving. You're dead.
The woman came to life, apparently, and the morgue worker immediately called an ambulance, and paramedics spent 40 minutes trying to resuscitate the woman. It was found that she had suffered from extreme cold in the morgue, and she was taken to intensive care, but later died that same day after suffering from hypothermia.
Oh, man.
Medics say if she had received prompt medical care instead of being taken to the morgue, she might have survived. Police have now launched an investigation into her death. A teenage girl in Ohio learned a hard lesson from police after she called them to her home on Saturday afternoon. Officers were dispatched for a theft report. When they arrived on scene, a 16-year-old girl who had called them said her dad took her cell phone.
I was wondering, I saw a picture of a cop. This must be the story, a cop addressing the girl, explaining why she's an idiot.
Yeah, officers spoke with the father, who said that he took the phone away to discipline the girl. The teenager insisted that it was theft and that she was entitled to the phone. The officers explained to the girl that having a cell phone under the age of 18 is a privilege and not a right, as she had believed. Before leaving, the officers instructed the girl to follow her father's rules if she wanted to get her phone back.
Could you imagine if you as a kid called the cops on your dad?
I love it. A man has died. Listen to this. Here's a way to go. A man has died after being pulled unconscious from waters near the Kiama Blowhole.
The Kiama Blowhole.
He was sucked into a blowhole.
I'm down with that.
He was snorkeling with four others and became separated from the group and caught on rocks near the base of the popular tourist attraction. The 33-year-old had a heart attack, and surf lifesavers attempted to pull him from the water but were unable to.
And he'd started the morning on Handy Hill.
He was spotted in the water near the blowhole about 12:30. They were caught in an undercurrent, and the man became separated from the group. An emergency helicopter was called to the scene and a paramedic was winched down into the water. The man was then flown to the boat harbor helipad where more paramedics were waiting to treat him. They worked on him. They were unable to resuscitate him.
Where is this again, Preston?
I think this might be in Australia.
Of course.
So the other divers were not seriously injured, but one was taken to the hospital as a precaution. Senior lifeguard, lifeguard Craig Bowery, said who was the first responder to the rescue. He said the reversing the jet ski into the cave was a challenge. He said, I didn't want to put the ski on the rocks, and the two gentlemen that were holding him up struggled to get him onto the mat, but we eventually got him on the end of the helicopter and winched him up. It was believed the man was snorkeling when he was likely thought he was being sucked into the blowhole and panicked. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. What a way to go.
That's messed up. A business class ticket on Singapore Airlines should ensure that you arrive at your destination well-rested, but not if you share the cabin with a rampaging minor bird. Last week, one such bird stowed away on a flight from Singapore to London. Business class tickets cost between $7,500 and $9,900. The minor bird, famous for mimicking human speech and this talent for ventriloquism and flapping back wings, are bound to have ruffled some feathers in the confined space of an airline cabin. In a scene shared on Facebook by disgruntled passengers, the bird can be seen perching on headrests and evading cabin crew. It's a 14-hour flight
with this bird
to Singapore.
Oh, my God.
With a bird in the main cabin. Remarkably, the bird only made its presence known within the last couple of hours before landing. So they had no idea the bird was in there until the last couple hours. A spokesperson for the airline said the situation was resolved by the time the aircraft landed, and the bird was handed over to animal quarantine at London Heathrow.
I think Singapore Airlines is the airline that has that super luxurious first class.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very well could be. Have you ever heard minor birds talk?
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible how they can mimic human speech. It sounds spot on. We'll stick with birds for a moment. A pair of hawks attacking people in the parking lot of a hotel have sent more than a dozen people to hospitals. This is in Vieira, Florida. It's unknown why they're going after people, as no eggs have been found in the nest. And according to one victim, Cindy Mara said, it just swooped down and attacked my head. She was walking into her job at the Chick-fil-A next door when she was arrested, attacked.
Sometimes they get territorial.
She said, it jarred me, and I looked up and saw a bird flying away. A red-tailed hawk had clawed the top of her head as she walked from the Holiday Inn parking lot. She said, it hurt, and I went inside, touched my head, washed my hands, and sure enough, they were bloody. Mara isn't the only person attacked by the breeding pair of hawks building a nest in a nearby tree. A wildlife trapper called in and said that 14 people were victim late last week.
Had you go to the hospital?
They all went to a hospital.
Isn't that wild?
Mara didn't have to get stitches, but some of the others did, including one guy had to get 17 stitches.
Oh, holy crap.
From the talons.
He was wearing his lucky salmon hat.
The Holiday Inn said the safety of their guests is number one priority, according to James Dean with On Point Wildlife Removal. And that's the reason that we got on it quickly like we did. The trappers destroyed the nest with the help of a fire department ladder truck. And there was at least one of the hawks still flying around as of yesterday. Mara said, I listen now when I'm walking to and from the car. Red-tailed hawks are protected under federal law, but the trapper said that he has permission from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to capture, remove, and release them into a wild conservation.
Is this James Dean doing this?
That's James Dean.
He should open up a business called Rebel Without a Clause.
And there you go.
Yeah, see? It's a play on a film title he's known for.
What I have in the bizarre file for you. Kathy, if it's not too much trouble, if you could pull your wounded toe up from the ground and give me a number caller for the secret text word.
9.
I should say your diseased toe.
Toe jar.
215-263-WMMR. Caller number 9. Let's see if you can get it right. Secret text word. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings play. Question for today. Wait a minute. I didn't get our... Oh, no, wait. I got to get our secret text word right.
Sorry.
Hang on. I meant to go to the calls first. Let me do that. We were looking for caller number 9. Let me do that. I have... And, Casey, I don't know what the word is, so you're going to have to let me know.
I will let you know.
I'll go to Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Deborah, do you know the secret text word?
It's secret.
No. Tis not.
What happened?
Sorry about
what
that.
What happened?
I don't know. We'll go next to, we'll go to Denise. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Hi, do you know the secret text word?
I do.
What is it?
Radio.
Radio.
That's it? Yes.
Correct. And since you got that right, we are going to give you a $50 Best Buy gift card. Hang on the line, get your information, and you can head to Best Buy Northeast Philly's open house event. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Discover what's next in tech and home appliances, access exclusive offers, and enter for a chance to win incredible prizes. No purchase necessary to enter. We also got a winner on the phone. Our random texter, I'm sorry about that, is Joe DiSabatino, yeah, from Wilmington, Delaware. So same thing. Congratulations to you, Joe. We'll take good care of you. Now we can do today's lesson question. And we are going to give away the tickets to see the Philadelphia Wings play. Question I have for you this morning is, who's the driver for Chad Cheddar Mock? 215-263-WMMR. Who's the driver for Chad Cheddar? Let's see if you know the answer. You had to have been listening. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We will do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. The best twos are Dunkin' Go-Tos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve, run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Amber Rose revealing on the Red Pill podcast that she tried selling crack when she was very young but was terrible at it. Rose says, thankfully, a kindly old woman made a deal that if Rose agreed to give modeling a try, she would purchase all of her crack and guns. Rob Kardashian rebounding from his relationship. Rob Kardashian rebounding from his relationship with Blac Chyna by starting up a Snapchat relationship with Love and Hip Hop star Alexis Skye. Skye says she's definitely interested in Rob, but would love to see him, quote, without that fat slob filter.
Oh. Hey!
And finally, Chris Pratt revealing that he asked Arnold Schwarzenegger for his permission before proposing to his daughter Catherine. Pratt says Arnold gave him some advice, telling him not to repeat his mistake of looking for a woman who's a cook in the kitchen and a housekeeper in the bedroom. And that's right. Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We'll see if you've been paying attention this morning, and we'll try to find out who the driver for Chad Cheddar was. 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Randy. Hey, Randy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Randy. Who was the driver for Chad Cheddar?
I believe it was Glenn Gouda.
Glenn Gouda, yep. That's correct. Hang on just a second, buddy. For Randy, we have a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings. Philadelphia Wings are back. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. Visit wingslax.com to buy your game tickets today. I'll let the music establish here so you know what it is when it hits. HBO theme.
HBO.
Music news time. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. The best twos are Dunkin' Go-Tos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. So the Chris Cornell tribute concert is taking place tonight, by the way, at the Forum in Los Angeles, and has added a slew of artists to the lineup at the last minute, including some pop stars such as Miley Cyrus.
Really?
Yeah. Brandi Carlile, Adam Levine, Fiona Apple, Miguel. Country artist Chris Stapleton and Ziggy Marley will all be a part of this. Now,
that's fairly eclectic.
Yeah, the rock artists that were confirmed for the lineup did include Foo Fighters, Metallica, Josh Homme, Taylor Momsen, Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction, of course, Faith No More's Mike Patton. The Melvins are going to be there, Black Sabbath's Geezer Butler, Ryan Adams. And, of course, members of Soundgarden, Audioslave, and Temple of the Dog.
Oh,
but it's
kind
of wild that Miley Cyrus and
I know she's been a fan. She's mentioned that in interviews.
Yeah.
But she's a really big fan.
Yeah. The show is presented by Cornell's family and closest friends. And Jimmy Kimmel is hosting the whole thing. And the host committee includes Vicky Cornell, Tom Morello, Matt Cameron, Brad Pitt, Josh and Catherine Brolin, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, Courtney Cox, Kaley Cuoco, David Spade, John Carter Cash, and Linda Ramone.
One obvious name. Not mentioned.
Others. Who?
David Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff not involved once again.
What a prick.
So each ticket purchased online for the show will include a copy of Cornell's recently released self-titled career retrospective album. Proceeds from the evening will benefit the Chris and Vicky Cornell Foundation, as well as the Epidier Myelosis. I know I always mess up that word.
EB.
What is it? EB?
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah, Bulosa Medical Research.
Easier way to say it.
Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to raising funds and awareness for this painful and debilitating genetic disorder. So I'm interested to see and hear some of the clips
from the absolutely.
The concert tonight. The Glorious Sons playing the MMRBQ, and they've landed their first number one song on a U.S. chart as SOS, Sawed Off Shotgun, made its way to the top
nice.
Of the active rock radio survey last week.
That's a great song.
That makes the group the first rock act to top the chart with its very first single since Bad Wolves did it last year with their cover of Cranberry's Zombie. The song, by the way, is the second single from Young Beauties and Fools and the second full-length album from the Glorious Sons. Released on October 2017, the LP won the Juno Award, the Canadian equivalent of the Grammy, in 2018 for Rock Album of the Year. Glorious Sons also have 8 consecutive top 10 rock radio hits in Canada and have topped the charts that there previously with Everything Is All Right. So happy to have those guys on the bill.
Nice guys.
Of the MMRBQ. And speaking of festivals, the Jazz Fest lineup has been announced. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, by the way. The world-famous Jazz Fest returns to the Fairgrounds race course. This is in Louisiana.
Yes.
From Thursday, April 25th through Sunday, the 28th, and then Thursday, May 2nd to Sunday, May 5th. And something very interesting is happening. Event organizers rolled out the lineup in a press conference and kicked off by performances from Jazz Fest veterans Jermaine Basil, Ellis Marsalis, James Rivers, Little Freddie King, and others. Now, here's what's going on. The Rolling Stones are headlining the second Thursday.
That's pretty wild.
May 2nd. Now, here's the deal. Tickets will be $185, a separate admission charge from the rest of the Thursday acts.
What?
And will be limited to a comfortable amount. That's right. You want to see the Stones, you got to pay $185.
On top of your already purchased tickets?
That's bullcrap.
Or can you just see them specifically?
I think you can just see them. Those tickets will go on sale to Louisiana residents on Thursday at 9 a.m. at the Superdome and then to the general public on Friday.
That's just like a regular show.
Yeah.
It's not even part of the festival.
Part of the appeal of the festival is that you buy one ticket and you can go see all of these acts.
It's bull crap.
The main stage and the side stage stuff.
It's a bunch of bull crap.
Yeah, but they're going for it.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Rolling Stones. They'll sell out.
They will. They will.
The rest of the festival headliners include Earth, Wind, and Fire on the 25th, Santana on the 26th, Katy Perry on the 27th, Van Morrison on the 28th, Chris Stapleton on March 3rd, and I'm sorry, May 3rd. And Dave Matthews Band on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. And Jimmy Buffett on the 5th.
It is, it's pretty amazing. My wife has been a couple of times. Saw Brian Wilson, I think, one year, which was pretty wild. So, yeah, you know, but I don't know. How much is too much? And then if you tack on the Rolling Stones tickets, it's a big investment.
The gate price is $85.
Just to get a gate?
Nope. To get in the gate.
Oh, all right.
Child's ticket's only $5.
Oh, that's great. That's
I was going to say, $85 for a gate's actually pretty cheap, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that for one Broad day iron? Or is that for every day?
I was talking about a gate like Steve.
Oh, Marissa says the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yeah, so you what? Get to go. I don't know. I don't know what this means.
It means I lost my accordion.
It means a really tiny field goal.
The $85 is per weekend. So when you do $85, you get 4 tickets.
and you can use them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But they're GA, so if you can't go Thursday and you pay the $85, you'll get two that you can use on another day.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I would just dress like a kid.
Kind of sort of. Like Bonnaroo or Coachella or something that are, you know, hundreds of dollars, it's pretty good.
Okay. So there you go. Those are the dates on that. Dave Matthews playing. We had a clip from Dave's. Case, can you pull that up for me?
Yeah, right there.
We have two of them. Number one talks about his retirement plans.
Yes.
Want to play that?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Here we go.
I have no idea. I don't know. I dream about going and living in a hut in Kenya and growing my facial hair. I always think about something else. We're going into a room and painting pictures until I die. I always think about what other things I want to do.
Aha.
I don't think he's ever going to retire.
Well, this is him. Doesn't know how long he'll keep on playing. Yeah. Here we go.
I feel very grateful for being able to make a noise with people that want to make a noise. So I don't have any immediate plans to stop doing this because it's a beautiful opportunity.
Okay. So, but he's definitely playing Jazz Fest. And then the Cranberries have announced their final album 1 year after the death of the band singer Dolores O'Riordan.
Was yesterday the anniversary?
It says 1 year after. Steve, okay. I don't remember.
All right.
Titled In the End, the disc is a collection of songs O'Riordan worked on prior to her January 15th death. So it was yesterday, yes, 2018. The Cranberries also shared In the End's first single. It's called All Over Now, and we have a clip of that to play. If we have not heard that yet, here you go. That's all we have of it. Eileen O'Riordan, Dolores' mother, said in a statement, I can't think of a more fitting way to commemorate the first anniversary of Dolores' passing and celebrate her life than to announce to the world the release of her final album with the band. She added, I miss her awfully, especially today, as does the entire family. She was very excited about this new album and was really looking forward to its release. I have no doubt that she's happy now and would be delighted with today's announcement.
So does the band itself have any plans? Have they announced that they're not going forward, or will they look for another female singer to lead? I mean, how do you... It'd be hard to replicate a Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, I don't see how you could.
Kathy, maybe.
I haven't heard anything about it. Well, she has the voice of an angel.
Absolutely.
Angel.
So I haven't heard anything. I got to believe that that would be it for the band. She was the biggest part of that band. So before the group could get into a studio to start recording that album and the songs properly, so these weren't, you know, these weren't finished vocals.
Yeah.
O'Riordan accidentally drowned in a London hotel room due to alcohol intoxication. Following months of mourning, the band listened back to O'Riordan's demo vocals. And after receiving the full support of her family, worked to complete the album. And the end will arrive on April 26th, by the way.
Not to get too graphic, but so she was drunk and drowned. You'd have to be substantially hammered.
Yeah, she got passed
hammered,
out drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Passed out drunk.
So drowned. Sad.
Yeah, exactly. I love her voice, and I love that band. So sad still thinking about it today. And that's what I have in music news for you today. Let's take a break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap the whole thing up with the Letter of the Day Word of the Week prize. Pierre, back in today to broadcast for your midday hours. We'll be back in a second.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
93.3 WMMR, every single thing that rocks. What a morning!
What a morning!
It's Wednesday. We're getting ready to wrap up our chapter of the day and turn over a leaf to a new one with Pierre Robert in here momentarily. I do some thank yous. We didn't really have any guests on today, but we did have Fox Good Day, and we thank those guys. And Ryan Fisk from Good Man Fisk is here in our studio. Played the Camp Out many times, and now he's just hanging back, watching us do our thing. So, what's up, Ryan?
Chilling.
How you doing, brother?
Good, man.
Good. I had to thank somebody.
Sure.
I can't end the day without thanking people.
No. Well, we thank you.
And we thank you, oh, loyalist of listeners, for being here on the program today. I guess we should go ahead and do our letter of the day. Case, you you got one of those handles?
Oh! Wait, somebody's here.
Good, because I didn't have the letter thing ready.
I got
go.
You, broski.
Anyway,
you're done.
Hey, ma'am.
They all yelled, and I didn't see you behind me, so it scared me. Oh. You didn't scare me.
You have to understand she has a split tone.
Jublia. Use Jublia.
You used it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And did it work?
If you missed the conversation earlier, Kathy has this giant, hideous fungus on her toe.
No, it's actually not bad at all.
She sleeps right like one of the Lost Boys.
No, I went right away, so they said that it's not bad at all. But you use that and it worked?
I've done laser. I've done Penlac. I've done all of those things. Jublia.
Okay, thanks.
And I can turn you on to Dr. Corey out in Ridley Park, who also can help you. He's great.
Okay.
How long did it take you? Because she's concerned it's going to take 2 years.
It did not take anything like that.
Okay.
I had been dealing with it. You know, it wasn't huge, but off and on for a couple of years. And it didn't take long at all. It wasn't 2 years.
Okay.
Do not take, as Dr. Mike, though, said, don't take the pills. They are hard on your liver.
Yeah, I know.
So don't take the pills.
Also, I don't want to go 3 months without drinking alcohol.
No. Oh, God, no.
I know.
Doctor recommends against that.
As your physician, I can tell you that.
Thank you, Dr. Pierre.
But the Jublia is expensive, and a lot of insurance doesn't cover it, but it's worth it.
Okay. Thank you.
There it is.
All right, man.
Thanks. Next patient, please.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for, Dr. Pierre, to tell me what to do.
Well, he gave you some clarity.
And
you
very, don't... very definitive, too.
Thank you very much.
All right.
20 cc's epinephrine. Stop.
How long from beginning of use till you felt it was clear?
I don't know. But okay,
you don't keep a toenail journal?
I don't keep it's like the vagina monologues.
Right.
No, I don't.
Toenail journal.
The togina monologues.
The togina monologues. No. It wasn't long, though, but it wasn't any two-year thing. You know, a couple of months.
All right.
Oh, that's not bad at all, Kathy.
Yes.
They probably tell you 2 years in case it does take that. You know, I mean, that might be under some circumstances that it does take that long. And just to cover it, they say, look, this could take 2 years.
You're going to be whipping your toes out by summer, no problem.
Mm-hmm. But also helps if you go to see a podiatrist in concert with that. So,
Which concert?
Any concert you like, as long as there's music, go there to be in kind and bring your podiatrist to the concert.
The concert,
so that way you're in concert with the podiatrist.
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense. And make sure you buy him a beer.
That's at the Toe Jam.
Yeah,
the Toe Jam. Which is a huge festival.
It's
huge festival.
Mm-hmm. A lot of big acts.
Yeah, and also Peanut Butter will be there. So it's going to be incredible. It'll be jam and peanut butter.
I didn't get the peanut butter reference.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Clear as a bell. Okay. You ready to do the letter?
Hell yeah.
Kristen and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
A is in apprentice.
Okay. Ah. Three letters in. We got two more to go. We're giving away our prize on Friday. It's two rooms, $200 food voucher, and four tickets to see Don Felder at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And that'll be on April 6th. So you get to go AC, do the overnight thing, get some food taken care of, wine and dine. It's going to be cool. Tickets on sale for Don Felder Friday at Ticketmaster.com. What's happening today, dude?
First of all, you guys may have mentioned this. I didn't hear if you did, but I want to congratulate our own lovely Sarah Parker, who officially got the title of music director.
That's great.
We did yesterday during the crossover.
No. Oh, right, because she filled in for me yesterday.
Yes, it's something to be celebrated. Absolutely.
I introduce people who've known each other for years. Hi, Preston, have you met Steve? No, I haven't met him. Anyway, to restate the obvious, congratulations.
We'll be working for her one day, probably.
Probably all.
Yep. I've had it happen before. I've had interns turn into bosses over the years. You stay in long enough, it happens.
You just got to add more guitar. Keep that guitar. More guitar.
More guitar.
Got to rock.
All right.
All right. On the program today, we will have, I mentioned a joke because their joke is when the revivalist for a song came out, Sarah said, yeah, it really needs more guitar. I wish I knew you when I was young. Mm-hmm. And it didn't need more guitar. It's perfectly fine the way it was.
Yep.
But she's a young rocker.
She is.
And so as a rocker, she believes guitar must be added to everything.
Yes.
So you can rock.
Yeah.
All right. On the program today, we will rock, and we will do so with a block of Jimmy Buffett. I don't know what blocks rock more than that. You know, when you talk heavy
metal,
when you talk headbanging, you talking Jimmy Buffett. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Presbo, because you know you love him. Mm-hmm. Put on that Hawaiian shirt and that little coconut bra and dance your heart out. We're also going to get into a block of Chris Cornell, just to totally confuse you, and a block of the record company. So a little bit of everything, and another $1,000 opportunity, two times, 11 a.m., and the other time, 1 p.m., and tickets for The Who.
Oh, tickets for The Who.
Oh, right. You got them every day.
Rush right over that.
Every day this kookabaka week.
This kookabaka week,
of course.
I like Casey.
That's her.
Yeah.
Earlier this morning, which I don't have available.
Yes, you do.
Oh, right, I do? There. I'm sorry.
Call me. Hi, Grandma.
That could be the ending of the program. Now.
He was saying he wants someone to try to try and interpret that and repeat it. So I'll work on it.
Good.
Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve's show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also brought to you by Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can bring a workout buddy with you. So that happens every single visit. Also, thank you to Drexel University. Experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Drexel.edu/test drive tomorrow on our program. Oh, our buddy Gilbert Gottfried is going to be here.
Love Gilbert.
So Gilbert is stopping in, and also astronaut Terry Burtis will be in our studio. An astronaut.
So cool.
We've had one or two in before, and it's always amazing to talk to those people, the things and they've seen.
Space.
It's amazing.
He's speaking in town tomorrow night.
Nice. Well, that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, man. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Eagles lost. It's all my fault. I did not hunt and kill a clown or a mime this year. Damn. I'm sorry, guys.
Next message.
Hello, Preston. Hello, Steve. Hello, Preston. What are you going to do?
Next message.
It's a school drop-off line. You drop off your kid and you go. You don't have a whole conversation with your child. It's called a drop-off line for a reason.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.